scratch about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I feel good. I look good. I feel like I'm moving. I feel like a cheetah. I feel black.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo!
Djibouti now. There are a few countries whose name simply makes you smile. Djibouti would win the gold medal in that category. Maybe Cameroon taking the silver.
Was that a joke? Were you joking just now? Because if so, that was hilarious. Lee. Awful. Lee. Funny. How bad that was.
But I've never seen Friday Night Lights. So for a person who's never seen Friday Night Lights, maybe give me a little brief synopsis.
Fire beer mug.
All decent folks can agree that the remarks that were made don't have any place in the public discourse.
And now,
Lisa, do I have my pants on?
Our feature presentation.
Not if I have anything to do with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Close to 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes this morning, I was convinced that today was Friday. How much does that realization hurt when it hits you in the face that it's Thursday and you thought it was Friday?
That's the worst.
And you get all excited and you start thinking, oh man, I'm in the home stretch here. 5 more hours, I'll be off.
What if you'd screwed all of us and played the Friday song and then we'd all be messed up?
Yeah, you heard a little bit of Don't Bogart, the whole thing would have fallen apart.
The hate you would have gotten.
No, you're absolutely right. Just hearing that first second of that song start just throws people into a tizzy. If it's not Friday, yeah, that's uncool,
How
man.
Beautiful would that have been, though?
Friday would have been nice. Friday would have been sweet.
I'm so alarm challenged these last 2 days. My alarm goes off at, I'm just so tired. Last night I had a late night, but the night before I didn't. And still, I was hitting the snooze like 10 times. And it's not that I woke up and thought, no, I'm going to go back to sleep. It's that it was completely woven into my dream.
Wow.
So I knew I was turning something off and that it needed to be turned off, but it was, you know, something happening in my dream. And,
yeah,
and then
you
I would wake
waking up
at 4:30.
To realize it, yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
Now, how do alarm clocks work in terms of, is there a number at which it stops giving you that option to hit the snooze, or will it snooze forever?
I think it does stop. And I think I'm right at the limit.
Yeah.
Because normally I wake up before it ever goes off and I look at the clock and I go, oh, 10 more minutes or 20 more minutes. But
I don't know what's going on with you.
I don't know.
Well, speaking of what's going on, let me get started with this story. Remember when the important part of being asked to be married, the important part of an engagement was the fact that somebody asked you to marry him?
It was?
That used to be the takeaway. Yeah, the takeaway used to be.
How long ago was that? The 1800s?
The takeaway used to be from the evening, this person is pledging their life to me and they want me to be their bride, and that's what matters and that's what's important. Well, that nobody even talks about that anymore. That's not even mentioned anymore. It's all about the proposal now, as you know.
Well, of course.
The
and
proposal
the ring.
Is all that matters. Yeah, and the ring, I guess, if anything other than the proposal, it's got to be the ring. So now there are things like, here's Sarah Pease. She's in New York City. She is a marriage proposal and engagement expert.
Oh,
that's
good.
Her job. She's somebody that people go to and say, I'd like to ask my girlfriend to marry me. How should I do it? All right. It's no longer lame dinner proposals, she said. Let's think about that sentence for a second. It's no longer lame dinner proposals. So now we're at the point in 2013 where you take your girlfriend out to a nice restaurant and bring out a ring and propose to her. Lame now is what that is.
Totally lame.
It's the things that are personal and unique to their love story. What's happening, kids, is that your proposal is ish unless you've hired a flash mob or unless you've got some sort of Bollywood choreography.
Look, it needs to be staged, like when you sell your home. You want it to be in its best light. You need to stage the proposal.
Natalia Lavrishlim was out on a date night with her boyfriend this week. His name is Josh Ogle. He took her up to a rooftop of a nearby building that he had rented, Lisa.
Okay. Ooh, that sounds good.
for $5,000.
Very promising. Obviously a man of means.
Had some drinks, hired some musicians to perform there on the top of this rooftop building. Then took her downstairs and went to their favorite restaurant where he had hired a celebrity chef, who is unnamed in the article, to cook them a personal dinner for another $2,000.
Oh, my God.
Then got in a vintage car that he had rented for $1,500 to take them to the airport, where they got on a plane for a post-engagement trip to Europe for $10,000.
Are you kidding?
Yes. All of this was completely unaware of. She got proposed to with a $21,000 engagement ring, then whisked off to Paris for a party. So that's a $45,000 evening right there for that proposal.
Well, he had a lot of cash, obviously.
I don't know. I wish there were more details in this article about what he does and whether he has just shot any chance they have of buying a home together.
No
because
way.
Because that's the down payment. No. Or is he one of these guys
Come
who's
on,
just
Bean.
Super he's super rich and he can do this.
Yes. And her life is such that she can be whisked off to a vacation without having to call work and clear it.
Well,
I mean,
I don't
they
know.
Live a life.
I don't know what's going on. They're very young. I mean, they look like they're in their early 20s. And, of course, that's possible. There are people who, you know, we're doing a lot better than we were at that age. But the guy just seems like a tool to me. I'm sorry. That just seems like...
If it is overkill.
If you're spending $24,000 on top of the ring, which was a very expensive ring as well, I don't know what you're hiding. I don't know what kind of insufficiencies are going on in your life.
Maybe he's one of those guys that was born without a penis, like we talked about yesterday. He's got lots to make up for.
What's happening? Beer mug, does this, you hear this and this makes you think there's no way you'll ever even be able to propose to somebody, right?
I can't even get into the ballpark with that guy of what he's
no,
doing.
Who can? It's insane.
Yeah, that's insane. I
mean, unless you have a YouTube video these days, your proposal doesn't count. Apparently.
It's ridiculous.
So we may have to talk some more about this if we have time tomorrow or next week or something like that and get some phone calls on crazy proposals because I know that people are – I mean, and it's not just for proposals for marriage anymore. I was reading an article recently about you can't just ask a girl to the prom anymore or to a winter formal dance in high school or college now. It's the same sort of thing. It has to be some sort of elaborate thing with, you know, actors and costumes.
Really?
And lights and music and videos and – yeah.
Oh, I had not heard of that.
Just talking to a girl anymore is no longer enough, wow. Apparently. So I don't know what the hell's going on in the world, but I don't like it.
I'm glad I don't have to go to a prom anymore.
Yeah,
too much pressure.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beecher, shall we?
I'm on a hunt for what can only be described as the world's weirdest penis.
Well, you have come to the right place, my dear, because we've got that for you today. We're finally going to get to the one-way mission to Mars that is seeking astronauts. I have already sent in my application. You might want to, too, when you hear how cool it is. We also have some stories today of people who lost it at work. And we're going to do this in the 6 o'clock hour. I think this is going to be fun. I mean, at work is usually where you try to keep it together because you have to see those people again.
Yes. And you want that job.
And you don't want to get fired? Exactly. So people who completely lose it at work, we're going to be talking about in just a few minutes. Funny man Eddie Ift on the program today. Dr. Drew with his weekly visit. Got a brand new internet roundup for you. And I'm very excited to welcome our friends Shavo, who I believe plays bass, John on the drums for one of our favorite bands, System of a Down, who, as you know, have one concert in North America in 2013. And we'll be giving away tickets to that show, too. That's going to be at the Hollywood Bowl and tell you how you can buy your tickets, too. That is going to be a great show. And all of that, plus Ralph Garman's Showbiz Beat is next here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. March! Madness. Ralph Garman, give me some good news about your number 13 seed, LaSalle Explorers, last night.
First of all, it's LaSalle, not LaSalle, okay?
Sorry.
So get it right. You're going to hear it a lot coming
it's
up.
It's not
in
a
the
school
next
anyone's ever heard of,
and
so why would I know how to pronounce it?
LaSalle will be talked about much in the upcoming week, so learn it. Love it.
What happened last night, Ralph?
The LaSalle Explorers beat up on the Boise State Broncos.
What?
Yeah!
Wow.
Bang,
check
bang,
you
bang,
out.
Bang, 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 bang.
And
bang.
This is first time in the tournament in how many years, Ralph?
First time in the tournament since 92. First win in the tournament since 90.
Wow, congratulations. You must be riding high.
And it was the anniversary, by the way, of their winning the national championship in men's collegiate basketball in 1954.
Wow, very exciting.
And yesterday was the 150th anniversary of the school.
So it's a big day all around for LaSalle.
Big day for LaSalle there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. My alma mater. Go Explorers!
So who do you play next?
Tomorrow, we face Eric Stone Street's Kansas State Wildcats.
Oh, wow. Oh. Do you have a little side bet?
We're talking wager.
Let's get Eric on the show tomorrow.
We're trying to come up with something. I'm going to reach
out to Eric, tomorrow.
See if we can get on the air and make some friendly sort of competition.
I think there's a wager to be had there. All right. Hey, well, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Love it.
Very exciting night in my house.
Thursday, not Friday, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 5:56. Ralph Garman joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Tragic news. Tragic news. Herbert Stryker died this week, which is... you may not know that name. Lisa knows him better as Harry Reams.
Oh.
Star of more than 100 adult films, none more memorable than 1972's Deep Throat. He was the male lead in Deep Throat, the porn movie that really made porn movies famous.
Yep.
He was, the feds went after him on obscenity charges after that film became a big hit. And he's become known as the only adult actor in the history of the medium ever to be convicted of obscenity charges.
Wow. Did he go to jail or anything?
He did. Alan Dershowitz, though, later got his conviction overturned. But he retired from the porn business, moved to Park City, Utah, and became a successful realtor.
A successful realtor?
Yeah.
That's really interesting because
made a lot of money in real estate.
I'll bet he did with those empty open houses and those ladies looking for a place to live.
Let me show you the portico.
And the reason Deep Throat was so significant, the reason it's legendary, is because that's when people woke up and said, there's a lot of money to be made in adult movies.
That's true. To this
it's a box office sensation.
It's one of the most successful films in history, given how much it took to produce versus how much money it made. So it was sort of a phenomenon. I think he went back to his original name of Herbert Stryker when he became a realtor. I don't believe Harry Reams was selling you real estate.
No.
But, he passed away this week at 65 from pancreatic cancer. Aww. So that's sad news. But what a story that guy had.
No
nice
kidding.
Second act, too. Also sad news in Hollywood today. One of our greatest treasures is gone. Chuck Norris has shaved his beard.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the
why?
Beard is no more. Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe Jesus told him to do it. I'm not really sure. But his beard, of course, made its last performance in Expendables 2. And now it is gone. The beard was 43 years old. He will be missed. Chuck's beard was so tough, they wore out 3 riding mowers just trying to cut it off. That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, not surprised.
Yeah. Harry Styles from One Direction. This kid knows how to live. He, according to PerezHilton.com, he has an incredible, insatiable sexual appetite. Well, he's 19 years old, and he's one of the biggest
stars
in the world.
Who doesn't at that point?
According to sources, now take it with a grain of salt, he hosts, in quotes, 3 or 4 girls in his room every night of the tour.
Three or four girls.
They say his libido is simply out of control. No, it's not. It's 19. That's all.
Is this why it didn't work out with the Ice Queen, Taylor Swift?
I was going to say.
Because she's got her vagina is Antarctica.
Look at the life he's living, and then look what she was offering. No wonder that didn't last. Why was he interested in the first place?
Yeah.
I'm out of time. I was going to tell you about John Hamm's penis. All right. Well, we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait for the next show, Bisbee, for John
Damn
Hamm's
you.
Penis. By the way, saw John Hamm's penis at the Troub last night.
Were they good?
Yeah, they're very good.
Fantastic.
I'm glad they're back together. I miss them.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Timothy Dalton. He used to be James Bond.
Yes, he did.
Poor Tim. No one remembers Tim as Bond.
No. It was a pretty bad 2 movies he was in, right?
He's the George Lazenby of his generation. He's 67 years old today. Gary Oldman. One of our finest actors. Boy, is he good. 55 years old. Matthew Broderick is 51 years old. Rosie O'Donnell is 51. Kevin Federline celebrates his 35th birthday today. Derek Whibley of Sum 41 is 33. And the Money Man, Eddie Money, celebrates his 64th birthday today. Have you seen Eddie Money in that Geico commercial, I guess it is?
Or
that insurance commercial where he's got the travel agency there and he's selling 2 tickets to paradise?
Looks like they woke him up to film that commercial, doesn't it?
Eddie could use a nap or something.
He could. And a makeover? I don't know. Something. It's bad.
I'm concerned about Eddie. That's all I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Guys from System of a Down joining us in the 8 o'clock hour here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can go ahead and go to the Kevin and Bean Facebook page or you can tweet us at Kevin and Bean if you've got any good questions for the band. Been a while since we we've seen them. And, of course, we'll be giving away tickets for their show at the Hollywood Bowl coming up as well. Thursday morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. I thought that maybe my chances of going into space had passed me by, Lisa.
Well, they should. You should be passed.
like millions of people, I've always wanted to go into space. It's always been a dream of mine, but, you know, obviously it's one that very, very few people in the history of the world have ever gotten to do. It's a pretty exclusive club of those who have been able to be strapped into a rocket and, you know, leave our atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But now it looks like it's time for some civilians to head up into space. You know, you're hearing about that Richard Branson project that he's got with space tourism, where you can go and just kind of circle around the Earth a little bit if you pay enough money to do it. That sounds like it's promising. That sounds like that something's going to happen in my lifetime. I might have a chance to do that.
If he's in charge of it, it will.
But this is even cooler, because here's a space program looking for astronauts who want to go to Mars, which, by the way, takes about 8 months to get there.
Okay.
That's a pretty long trip to go to Mars.
Yeah.
And you don't get to come back. And that's maybe the reason that a lot of people would say not so much for that trip, because it's one way.
I don't get it. If it's 8 months to get there, why can't they send you back?
They don't have a way to carry that much fuel. They don't have it's too heavy.
Oh, wow. They want to go?
I mean, they figured out a way to do it to the moon, to turn around and come back. Because they had, you know, they had that all worked out 40 years ago, but for some reason they can't figure out how to do it to Mars. Well, here's what the guy behind it is saying. He is a 35-year-old named Baz I knew I was going to screw that up. Baz Lansdorp. He is Dutch, and he is a very, very wealthy man, and it's his idea. He's got a lot of good people behind him, but here's the plan.
Our goal is to send humans to Mars and settle mankind on the red planet. And we can only do that with current day technology if we forget about the return mission. The technology to get humans to Mars and keep them alive there exists. The technology to bring humans from Mars back to Earth simply does not exist yet.
Now, it sounds like, I mean, it doesn't sound to me like this is one of those deals where you go to Mars and then you just lay down on the red planet and die. It sounds like they've come up with a way to sustain you up there and to give you supplies and oxygen and food and everything like that. You could live for years on Mars.
You see what I'm saying? You could. Yes, I do. I just, okay.
You wonder how exciting it would be after the initial excitement of, hey, we're on Mars. Like,
I mean,
what now, right?
Are they going to give you shows to watch? Are they going to
As long as they send you with a DVR, you're fine.
I'm pretty good, yeah.
Let's see what kind of astronauts they're looking for the Mars One mission.
We have a good team member in our team. His name is Norbert Kraft. He's worked at the Japanese Space Agency and at NASA.
By the way, I had to stop and pause for a moment there, because the Japanese have a space agency? Doesn't it seem like we've sent more people into space than Japan? I mean,
just
you and me
more.
Personally have sent more people into space than Japan
yes.
has. What do they even have? I've never heard of a Japanese space program before. I'm going to start putting that on my resume if nobody's checking.
For crew selection for astronauts. And he has pointed out that the most important thing is not the medical skills and the engineering skills. The most important thing is they need to be the kind of people that you and I want to be stranded with on an uninhabited island. They need to be the kind of people that are at their best when things are at their worst. They need to be utterly dependable.
By the way, none of this suggests Beermug is going to be an astronaut anytime soon. Dependable, good under stress, the kind of person you want to be stranded with. I'm sorry, Muggs, doesn't seem like you're going to be able to go.
They need to know when to lead, and they need to know when to follow. They need to be people that are very good in groups. All the other skills, like the engineering skills, the medical skills, and the skills to grow your own food, we can teach them that, because we will train them for 8 years before they depart.
Yes, that's right. You have to train for 8 years before you take off, by the way. And we'll get to the timeline of when all this is supposed to be happening soon. So what kind of response do you think the Mars One mission is getting, Lisa? How many people are there like me who are willing to leave Earth for a final time, wave goodbye, and go live on Mars?
I can't imagine. It can't be more than a handful.
Yes, a lot of people have already reached out to us. We've received emails from more than 100 countries, from more than 8,000 people from all over the world.
Over 8,000 people, when the news broke last week about this program, are already saying, pick me, send me to Mars.
Do they have no lives, family? I don't understand.
Look, I think, I'm speaking for myself here, but I'm guessing that a lot of people just can't pass up the opportunity to see something that unbelievably cool.
No, there's got to be like a famous factor involved for a lot of people.
I don't think so. Not for me, there isn't. I just want to see Mars. I want to be on Mars. I want to stand on Mars. That would be worth living and dying for.
Aren't you content enough with seeing Mars in pictures and photographs?
It's not the same. Wait, is it the same to look at a picture of the Eiffel Tower as it is to go to Paris?
Yeah, but that's Paris, and you can come back from Paris.
But Mars, dude.
But Mars.
That's what you're missing.
All you're going to say, no matter what
from,
we say.
From very old to very young, men and female, highly educated, low education, all kinds of people are already contacting us because they want to go to Mars.
Everybody, who doesn't want to go to Mars?
Me.
Besides you, losers. How are they going to pay for all this? Obviously, an extremely expensive thing. Space travel, this is one of the reasons why most countries don't do it. They don't have the science and they don't have the money, but they've got that covered too.
We have a good way of financing this. The cost of a one-way human mission to Mars is about $6 billion for the first four people and $4 billion for every crew that we send after that. And that sounds like a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And of course, it is a lot of money. But imagine what will happen when the first humans land on Mars. Literally, the whole world will watch. And the value of having the whole world's attention is enormous.
By the way, you agreeing with this, though, Lisa? Greatest reality show of all time to actually watch humans walking around on Mars?
I do. It would be amazing.
There's no way you'd be able to turn that off, right?
The training. I'd like to see the training.
Yeah, it could be cool.
Yeah.
At the Olympic Games in London, they had a revenue of more than $1 billion per week. Just because the world is watching, from broadcasting rights and sponsorships. So imagine what the value will be of sending humans to Mars. It's easily enough to finance what we want to do.
All right, one last clip, and that is, and this was a surprise to me, especially when I heard him talk about that 8 years of training. I was thinking, well, this is going to be way, way, way distant in the future. But when you start to put the pieces together of what their plan is, and they've got quite a team of scientists behind this Mars One idea, it sounds like things are getting rolling pretty soon here.
First thing we want to do is to land a demonstration mission on Mars in 2016, which will prove the technology that we need to land all our future missions, including the human missions. In 2018, we will send a rover to Mars that will drive around on the surface and will look for the best location of the settlement.
2016 and 2018, by the way, not that far away.
This is the first parts of this.
And I think it's so neat to see private enterprise getting involved in something like this because, you know, if we're going to sit around and wait for our government to have enough money to spend on this and enough initiative to spend on this, it's never going to happen. But these are just, you know, these are rich people who say, hey, we're interested. Let's do it.
In 2020, we're sending six missions to Mars, six cargo missions, two living units, two life support units, a second rover, and a supply unit. And the rovers will put all the equipment in the right location. They will activate the life support systems. They will make sure that that there's a habitable settlement waiting for the humans before they actually leave from Earth. Mm-hmm. And only when all these things are confirmed, then the first crew of four people will depart from Earth in September 2022, landing on Mars in by the end of April 2023.
April 2023, I'll be doing the show from Mars, you guys.
So, that's pretty funny. They live there, and then when do they not live anymore? Do they run out of food? Like, how does that work?
It sounds to me like they've got a system where they can send ships up with supplies a couple of times a year if they need to.
So are they just going to live out their life?
Yes, they're just going to live out their life.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Or maybe they'll come up with a plan, you know, maybe they'll come up with some sort of a, you know, rocket fuel that is, and I'm sure we have smart scientist type people who are going to be able to, you know, help me explain this a little better, but they'll come out with something that's a little more compact or travels a little better, something like that. Maybe eventually they would figure out a way that they could send people back and forth. You know, we got a few years to go until we get to that point.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with this plan.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that. That's the voice of Baz Landorp talking about Mars One. That was an interview he did with CBC Radio in Canada. But I'm definitely going. I'm curious to know if anyone wants to go with me. We'll take a break. And more of the Kevin and Bean Show coming up right after this on the world-famous K-Rock. That if your dreamy boyfriend from Incubus was going to Mars, you'd go with him, Lisa. But that would change your tune right there.
Anywhere.
Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Thursday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Disneyland in the news. Channel 10 in San Diego had this story about the man or woman, I guess we don't know, who was playing the White Rabbit character from Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
Kind of took it out, lost his or her temper on some bratty kids in the park. Here's what happened.
The laughter you hear is coming from the father shooting this cell phone video during a June visit to Disneyland. after one daughter pulls on the tail of the white rabbit. His other daughter, 14-year-old Jocelyn, also takes a turn. Immediately, the rabbit follows her. Jocelyn Carlos says the rabbit held her by the arm and neck.
He told me, don't you ever do that again, or I'm going to call security and tell your stupid friend to stop doing it too.
Moments later, you can hear her sister Alexis yelling. He does, but the sisters say they hear these parting words.
He said, don't even start your with me, and then he turned around, and then he pushed my sister out of the way.
So we obviously heard the character speak. How unusual is that?
I mean, very unusual. We recently interviewed a man who played the same Disney character for 10 years. He said that was the number one cardinal rule that was never broken, and it was a fireable offense.
First of all, instead of suing Disneyland, how about get your bratty kids to not pull on the rabbit's tail while they're at the park?
He's just laughing and filming it.
Seriously, how about a little bit? How about stepping in and being a parent, first of all? But can you totally understand why? I mean, it's a miracle that these costume characters at the park don't haul off and hit some of these kids. It has to be the worst job in the world, right?
They're so abused. They get kicked and peed on, and it's a nightmare.
Almost everybody has had an experience in their job where they're just at the breaking point, where they feel like they're going to just lose it. Like, I just can't do this job for another day, or I'm just being imposed upon or asked to do too much. I'm out of patience. I don't have time for this today. You remember the time I melted down, Lisa?
Oh, I do. That was amazing.
This was back, gosh, this must have been, this was a long time ago. This was back when Ben Folds 5 was real popular. It had to be mid to late 90s, I guess I want to say. They had that song Brick that we played a lot here in Carrick, which I still think to this day I think is the best ever song about getting an abortion over your Christmas vacation. But we were doing a breakfast with, like we do, and we were doing it in the basement or in the first floor of the building that K-Rock used to be in Burbank. Mm-hmm. It had a restaurant down there, and Ben Folds 5 was all set up, and it was a live Kevin and Bean show, and we walked downstairs and started the broadcast with them, and nothing worked. They couldn't hear us. We couldn't hear them. The microphones to the audience wouldn't work. I mean, the thing was just a disaster. It was just falling apart. And engineering had all the time in the world to get the thing set up, and literally nothing worked. Kevin and I couldn't hear each other. I mean, it was one of those kind of things. And I just couldn't get my head around, A, how it had failed so spectacularly, the setup, knowing we were doing a live radio broadcast with this band, and B, how we were going to do the show. Like, what are we going to do now? We've got an audience full of people, and we're on the radio, and we're supposed to interview this band that can't hear us, and they're supposed to perform, and we can't hear them. What happens now?
I can't imagine. What did you do?
Well, I just remember smoke coming out of my ears, just like in a cartoon, and apparently I've been told that I just walked out like a zombie. Like, I just straight ahead, didn't make any eye contact, didn't say anything to anybody, just put the microphone down and just walked out the building.
Now, I wasn't there. I heard this story before, but I didn't realize, like, you have no recollection of what you did?
No,
like, you
I don't.
Just checked out?
Yeah.
No,
well, part
kidding.
Of it, as you know, is how bad my memory is all the time. But part of it is I think that day, my circuits just overheated or something like that. Actually, you know, I think we have producer Lightning on the phone. I don't know. He might even have been the producer back then. I'm not sure. Lightning, were you there for the Ben Folds 5 breakdown?
My friends, I was on the receiving end of Bean's hate that morning.
I can't imagine.
Where were you? What happened to you? What were you doing that day?
I was running the control board, and I had Taru,
who was the engineer at the time.
Yeah. He was working downstairs, and I just remember that you were beside yourself. There's nothing I could do to change the board to make it work. I was cursing at people. You were cursing at people. I finally crack open your mics to go live, and you couldn't hear Kevin. He couldn't hear you. You couldn't hear Ben. Ben couldn't hear Ben. No one could hear anyone. And all I heard was, I can't believe this, thud. That was your microphone hitting the table. And everyone going, and Kevin saying, Bean? And that was it. And then you were out.
I got in my car, and I think I drove to the Talleyrand. Remember the breakfast place that was in Burbank? I think I got in my car, and I just drove to the Talleyrand, and I sat there with my toast and my coffee and just contemplated the world, I think. I just did the broadcast. Help me out here. Like, did the broadcast happen? Did they get it worked out?
It went shoddy at best, as the way we do things.
You mean poor Kevin by himself struggled through somehow?
He did it by himself. I think a 45-minute breakfast with turned into like a 25-minute breakfast with.
Oh, man.
I think the next time we heard from you was about 3 in the afternoon for some kind of like post-show recap.
Oh, my God. I mean, I guess I was just so frustrated and so upset that I think what probably happened is I was afraid of what I would say, especially on the air, that I'm not allowed to say had I tried to make that broadcast work, I think.
Yeah, and then you might have been out of a job.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was a low point there.
You snapped.
That is the height of unprofessionalism, and I still feel terrible about that. But we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have had that meltdown at work, you totally lost it. You went off on your boss, or you went off on a customer, or you went off on a coworker. You just couldn't go on. You were so frustrated, so angry, so mad, so hurt, whatever it was. We want to hear about your meltdown. Now, another incident that I don't remember, Lightning, I guess involved you when you were a producer. Something happened still talk about to these days?
Yeah, speaking of meltdown, Lightning.
Oh, Lisa, you do remember this one, huh?
Oh, clearly.
What was going on with you, Light?
Yeah, so Lisa can fill me in because I have a similar moment where, like Bean, you described, you can't remember what happened. As soon as you exploded and the circuit snapped and electricity to your brain shut off, I have the same situation where I was in the office. This is after over a decade of doing stupid stunts, driving to Alaska, pouring chocolate syrup down my throat, getting a vasectomy on the air, standing naked in front of 7-Elevens.
See, Beer Mug, you've got it pretty easy compared to the stuff that Lightning used to have to do.
Yeah, apparently.
My wiener in a pump in a pool in Florida.
Oh, that's right.
Why? Dumping sewage in front of Rick D's studio from Jimmy and Adam's RV after a long weekend. So there's a lot of stuff that had built up. I'm standing in there. Remember, it was Kevin and Bean giving me a lot of crap about all I can remember is that it had something to do with that I wasn't a team player. Like,
yes.
I wasn't in it for the show. Like, I screwed something up, but they were just digging into my side. They had that knife in my side, and they're just twisting it. And I just lost. I'm like, I'm not a team player. And I took a glass of punch or something that I had there.
You had a bottle of water.
They're saying it was vitamin water, like kind of a sticky vitamin water.
Yeah.
That's right. We had tons of that stuff around at the 50-cent time, right? And I'm throwing it up in the air, and it's going everywhere. And
like you just didn't care?
By accident.
He's basically jumping up and down. He just completely lost it.
Oh,
he's like,
that's right.
I don't care about the show. And he's singing, and he's jumping, and he's got this water, and the water is flying out of the bottle all over Ralph. You really don't want to throw water on, but Ralph senses that we are watching a mental breakdown in the process, so he doesn't go after him. But, I mean, he was ready to punch him, really. And
now,
Lightning
fortunately,
just went nuts.
Fortunately, Ralph had the leather jacket on, so he was safe and dry, right?
Yes. He was protected.
He comes protected, right, exactly.
So Ralph's upset, and I didn't mean to get Ralph.
I think you left, didn't you, Lightning?
What's that?
You left.
I bolted out, and then now Dave tells me that I had a second episode the following day where I punched the wall, and I guess there's still an indentation in the office there.
Oh, my God.
It was a bad week for Lightning.
Look, sometimes you just have to walk away. Sometimes you just need a timeout, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
I think so. You need, like, I left the building, you left the building, you just have to get away from the situation because it's just toxic. And, you know, God forbid, you know, people have heart attacks over things like that. You don't want that. No job is worth that. But that's a crazy story, Light. And just like with me, it's just something that you've kind of heard about but don't really remember, right?
I didn't remember it until Dave told me about it yesterday.
Wow.
I was like, oh, that happened. That's right. Now I'm waiting for Beer Mug's episode.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Right. That's
well, but with Beer Mug, what happens is he just gets weighed down more and more. And so when he breaks, he's just going to lay down on the floor face down.
There won't be any screaming. He'll just be softly weeping.
Yes. That's what's going to happen with Mugs.
Or he's going to eat himself into an explosion.
Right. We got a break. You were a great producer and are still a great employee and a great friend of the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate you coming on and talking to us today, okay?
You got it. Morning, guys.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. We'll come right back. We want to hear your stories of work meltdowns right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean.
You know what you're doing, and we hereby demand that you knock it off.
Yeah. K-Rock.
I agree with that lady. Ralph Garman coming up with the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Eddie Ift in the 7 o'clock hour. Right now, We are talking about You Lost It at Work, a complete breakdown. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's get us started with Christy here on line six. She's got the exact kind of story I was hoping for. Hi, Christy. Welcome to the show. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, thanks. So I used to work in this retail store, and I must have just been having a really bad day. I'm not sure what was going on with my brain. But this customer was being really rude to me. I don't even remember why. And I just remember he handed me his receipt, and I just was refusing to return his stuff. And so I crumpled up the receipt, and I put it in my finger, or I put it in my hand, and I flipped it at his forehead. So angry with him.
Oh, my God.
You threw the receipt in the customer's face, and what did he do? Do you remember what his reaction was?
I don't remember his reaction. I just remember I didn't get fired.
Wow. They must have realized that you were just having a terrible day, and they gave you a timeout, right?
Yeah, they must have, yeah. I just remember all of my coworkers just pretty much from that point on decided I was crazy.
Yeah. Well, they were probably right. Thank you, Christy. Appreciate the call. Let's go to John, line seven. Now, John, I think, is in the Army when his breakdown comes. It doesn't seem like that flies very well, right? Hey, John, how are you?
Good. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Yeah, what happened was I was already working on a project that was going to take me until about 10 o'clock that night, and my commander came in the room, and he needed something done right away, and he was doing it in his sarcastic attitude. I flipped out, threw everything off my desk, ran towards, we have what's called a butcher board. It sits on an easel. I tried to kick it as hard as I could, and I kind of slipped and fell, and I did that when I was still cursing everybody in the room out. And then I ran out of the room. I got to the edge of the base, and I realized I can't just quit. I have to go back. So that was my hat in hand. I went back to the commander eventually at the end of the day.
Now, how do they handle something like that in the Army? Because then you've got the chain of command with the superior, you know, your superiors. Yeah. And I mean, what happens to you?
Well, in that type of commander, he enjoyed the reaction that he got. He wanted that from me, so not much. And I'd been in for 10 years, so at that point, they kind of realized maybe I get one bad day every 10 years. But
yeah, that seems reasonable.
He enjoyed stirring that up out of me.
Well, it's better that it happened then than like on the battlefield, right?
I guess so.
Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate that. Thanks for your service, too. Let's go to Derek, line three, calling us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Derek, we're talking meltdowns at work. What happened to you?
Hey, guys. What's up? Yeah, I had a super long day. We started work at 5:30 in the morning. It was around 6 o'clock at night, still moving stuff around. I had a 50-pound bag of fertilizer in my hand, and the boss was just like pushing, pushing, pushing. I flipped out and just threw it as hard as I could, and it exploded everywhere against the wall.
Wow. After 12 hours at work, you still have the strength to throw a 50-pound bag of fertilizer at your boss.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was like the Hulk. I was so freaking mad. And then, like, Dean, I just, like, turned around and, like, walked out like a zombie. Like, I don't even know what happened.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get your head around it because even you don't recognize the person that you are at that moment. You just can't understand what's happening to you. Something takes over when you get in that moment, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was there any kind of repercussion, suspension or firing or anything like that?
No, he just left it there for me to clean up when I came back.
Okay, well, that's good. Hey, so far I don't think anybody's lost their job as a result of this. All right, let's do one more. Let's try Raul. He's on line one. He'll wrap this up for us real quick here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Raul. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going? Well, my episode, I actually did get fired, so it happened like
Okay,
this,
good. We end on a happy note then.
I went, I used to work for Burlington Coal Factory when I was younger, and then I went up and I was working cashier, and, you know, it sucks to work for retail, you know, especially because, you know, especially in these small, not these small, but these cheap places because
everybody. Yeah, retail is tough anywhere you are, man. I mean, anytime you're dealing with those kind of customers, with those kind of transactions, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. But what was it that put you over the edge?
Okay. Well, put me over the edge is this lady. The lady came up, and she had a tag, and the tag said 99 cents. But when I ring it up, it said a dollar. So then she kept on arguing for me with like a minute or so about it's a 99 cents, you know, and just ring it up a dollar. Like, here, I'll give you the freaking penny. So I threw the penny at her. and she was all shocked, and she's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're so cheap. And I just ran off.
And you did get fired. You can't really throw money at the customers. We know that much, right?
Well, I didn't throw it directly at her. It bounced and it hit her. But it was like the whole point where, like, where, like, it was just like, you know, I just had it because it's like, it's a penny, you know, I'll give you a penny. I have a penny here. There's a penny on the floor. You know, anybody can get
it. Didn't it feel good, though, just to say, I can't believe you're so cheap, just to say it?
Yeah, it felt great, but then at the end, I didn't have a job. So,
you know? Yeah, you didn't have a job. Then you wish you had that penny back. All right, dude, thanks a lot for the call. We'll be right back here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Get right. Funny Man ADF coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The guys from System of a Down in the 8 o'clock hour. And right after 7, we're going to tell you about this. It's just apparently it's phenomenally successful. A lot of New Yorkers have things to get off their chest. A guy has set up an apology hotline. You want to call to apologize, not to the person. You do it anonymously, but at least you get to say out loud, hey, I'm sorry for fill in the blank. And apparently a lot of people want that service. So we'll talk about that and hear some of those messages on the way. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Week. Good morning, Ralph.
If you're willing to call long distance, you can apologize, too. If you're willing to call a New York number.
Certainly, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's not just New Yorkers, man.
No, you're right. You're right.
We all have some guilt I think we need to get off our shoulders.
Anything you want to say?
Well, I did kill that dude once. I don't think the statute of limitations has run out, so I better just keep my mouth.
I'm not sure it ever runs out on murder, Ralph, so maybe keep that one under your hat.
Now I've done it. I got a chance to tell a story where I almost punched Kevin in the face at work.
Oh, where you lost it at work?
Yeah.
Wait, I don't remember that.
Many, many years ago, there was a group of guys who had released a series of DVDs, you know, like Girls Gone Wild DVDs kind of thing. It was homegrown. They were trying to make profit. It was called Bum Fights.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And they would pay homeless people to fight each other in alleys, and they would film it and release it on DVD.
Yes.
And I thought it was so despicable, and it was like the end of humanity in my eyes. I was so repulsed by the idea. And Kevin just thought it was the greatest thing he had ever heard and thought it was the funniest thing in the world and wanted to have the guys in to interview them on the air to talk about it. And I said, that is disgusting, and I won't be any part of it. He said, oh, you're a P word and blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
And I said, you want to fight? You want fights? Let's you and me fight right now and have someone record that. Let's you and me step outside right now and fight. And we never did because Kevin's a pussy. But I almost went for his throat. I almost
really like
I
it was
physically
you
attacking.
He
him.
Was you weren't just posturing.
About
you,
it.
Was you were serious.
A dick about it. And I was so incensed. I was so disgusted and repulsed by what these guys were doing to these people. It's bad enough they're homeless and more likely mentally unstable and poverty-stricken or addicted to drugs. Whatever their problems are, these guys were paying them like $20 a piece to square off and fight each other. And Kevin wanted to make light of it and talk about it on the air and promote this product. And I just wanted to physically harm him. It was the angriest I've ever been at work.
Because it's the Kevins of the world that would buy that stuff.
That's true.
And support it.
I'm glad
Didn't
he's
those
dead.
Guys
I'm
get
glad
prosecuted?
He's dead.
He's not dead. He's just
dead.
On vacation.
Oh,
he's fine.
Same thing.
He's in Cabo paying bums to fight right now.
Probably is. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. This is crazy. If you look at the top 10 albums in the world right now on the Billboard 100, you wouldn't know what decade we live in. It's all over the place. Number 10 is Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix has the 10th most popular album in the world right now.
And how are they still unearthing tracks we haven't heard from Jimi Hendrix yet when the man has been dead since, what, 1970 or something?
I don't know. Ask Tupac. Maybe he has an answer.
Seriously.
Jimi Hendrix's brand new album of all unreleased material, People, Hell, and Angels, is number 10 on the top 100 albums, according to Billboard. Mumford & Sons' Babel is 9th, still hanging in there. Dave Grohl's Sound City Reel to Reel, the Sound City soundtrack, is number 8. Eric Clapton, 7th on the list.
Yep.
Eric Clapton. His debut for Old Sock is number 7 on the list. Mindless Behavior was 6th. Bruno Mars was 5th. Passion, Let the Future Begin. It's a compilation, apparently. 4th. Luke Bryan, 3rd.
Country.
David Bowie. 2nd on the list. Yeah. David Bowie.
This is a crazy list.
So we had some 60s. We've had some 70s.
David Bowie, next day, his debut week, he puts him number 2 on the list. Number 1, Bon Jovi.
And the 80s are back.
No,
ladies and gentlemen.
Bon Jovi has the number 1 album in America.
No, you're right. That is schizophrenic.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
By the way, Bowie's album debuted at number 1 in 12 countries, except for the USA here, where it's number 2. But,
wow, that's stunning.
That's a nuts list.
It is.
If you woke up from if you were in a coma in the 80s, and you woke up and said, oh, I'm glad to see Bowie's still doing
Nothing's
well.
Nothing's changed.
He's out there. I'm glad to see Bon Jovi's still on top of the heap. It's craziness. Justin Bieber, now he's pissing off people in Paris. Apparently that's where he currently is. He went to the legendary Moulin Rouge with 23 of his entourage last Sunday. And they say Bieber was backstage before the grand finale congratulating the performers. But most importantly, people said they saw him trying to check out the ladies in the dressing room.
Oh, dear God.
Really?
Yeah. He's a sweetheart. And I promised you stories of John Hamm's penis, Lisa.
Thank you.
Well, here it is.
Okay.
According to the New York Daily News, and this is a good problem to have, the producers of Mad Men have told John that he no longer can go commando in his costumes.
In those fabulous suits he wears?
That, and then now that it's getting to be the late 60s, men wore those tight...
Oh.
Like, not polyester, I guess. Polyester pants.
Yeah.
You know, the casual pants were polyester and sort of tight.
Yep.
And left little to the imagination. And according to sources, John's anatomy is so impressive, it's distracting. And a show staffer politely insisted that he wear underwear.
He just gets better and better.
Insider also claims that AMC had to use Photoshop in previous years for Mad Men promotional posters to tone down his...
Really?
...package.
Oh, my show God. Is it really that big?
Let's play everything at once.
A lot of people are excited.
A lot of people are playing things to celebrate. The new season debuts, by the way, on April the 7th, so you can check out John Hamm's package yourself for two
hours.
I would like to see
one of those posters before they photoshopped it.
Don's got quite a draper, apparently. Today's celebrity birthday is Timothy Dalton, 67 years old. Gary Oldman turns 55. Legendary rock singer Eddie Money is 64. Matthew Broderick is 51. Rosie O'Donnell, also 51. Kevin Federline turns 35 years old today. And Derek Whibley of Sum 41 is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
At Imagine Dragons' terrific band Radioactive here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ with Weezer, M83, and the Chili Peppers on the way. Don't forget our special in-studio guests 1 hour from right now. Shavo and John from one of our favorite bands, System of a Down, will be here. So stick around for that. Guys, have you heard about the apology line?
No.
Nope.
This was very popular, ran out of New York City for a number of years back in the 80s, early 90s. Then the guy who was running it passed away, so the idea has remained dormant for some time until it recently started back up again. There's a guy who chooses to remain anonymous who has set up a telephone line, an answering machine, where you can call and leave an apology to someone. He says in an interview with the New York Post, "I think forgiveness is a very powerful thing, and not everyone has an outlet for that. Some people can't talk to family. They don't have religion. Maybe they don't even know how to forgive themselves." So he's put an answering machine up so people can call just to get it off their chest. So he's getting calls like, "I slept with my best friend's boyfriend and she doesn't know. I stole something from the store, but I just wanted to say sorry." Hey, I'm sorry, you know, to my ex-boyfriend, I shouldn't have left you. You know, those are the sorts of things that he's getting. I mean, is there something to be said for that, Lisa, for just saying it out loud and getting it off your chest? Does that work, do you think?
I definitely think that's helpful because there are things that you're never going to actually tell another human being, but just to say it out loud, acknowledge that you did it and that you feel bad about it, I think there's something about that.
And then move on with your life because now you've at least addressed it, maybe. Well, here's the outgoing message on the Mr. Apology line, and he has it even set up, by the way, that you dial *67 before you call in so that your number doesn't show up. I mean, he wants it to be completely anonymous. He asks that you don't give your name or anything like that. But here's what you get when you call Mr. Apology.
"You've reached the apology line. You have wronged people. It is to people that you must apologize, not to the state, not to God. The idea of apology is to provide a way for people to apologize for their wrongs against people without jeopardizing themselves. Do not identify yourself. I call from a payphone and use *67 to prevent tracing. Apology is not associated with any police, government, religious, or other organization. When you call, you will be alone with your tape recorder. Leave your apology after the tone."
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And they've started to release some of the calls that have been left on the machine. I think we have one first.
Yes, I'd like to leave a message. you can just call me Mr. Universe. I want to apologize to Maria. Maria, I'm sorry I put a baby inside our maid. But, you know, in my defense, she was, you know, walking around the house with a vagina and everything.
See, Lisa, completely anonymous. No one would ever be able to trace the call or know who that was. All right, message number two.
Ooh, you can just call me Michael Corleone. Ooh, I'd like to apologize to everybody
for a movie called Jack and Jill. Ooh-ah. I don't know why I said yes. Must be because Adam Sandler has got a great ass.
Well, I hope that young man, whoever he is, feels better about that apology. All right, message number three.
Hey, you can just call me Ale Glass. And I'd like to apologize to that guy at the Cold Stone Creamery. I'm sorry I bit your finger off, but that ice cream looked so good I couldn't wait for you to finish. You were making it with candy, and I just had to take a bite. That's outrageous.
I don't know who that guy was, but he sounded fat.
enormous.
Playing back messages calling the Mr. Apology Hotline in New York. Here's another.
I would like to apologize to everybody that listens to my work, and all the people also that I work with that people listen to, that I'm sorry I am drunk every time at work, and what did you do?
That guy sounds like he's on vacation right now. And I understand we have one more.
I would like to apologize to all the people who read my tweets. I just can't help myself with sharing my inane information, but I like to stay current, and I'd like to share that with you. And I'd also like to apologize to that sheep for that thing that time.
Oh, what?
Dare you? Eddie Ift in studio with us here on the show. Hey, Eddie, how are you, man?
I can't believe it. I'm here. I'm actually here.
I can't believe it either. I know this is butt early for you.
I think this is the earliest I've ever been in.
Really?
Probably the earliest you've ever been awake as an adult, I would imagine, too.
No, when I used to do morning radio in New York, I used to have to be up and do the show like you guys, but I would do it at the end of my day.
Oh, my God.
I would stay out and party all night and then show up and be amazing drunk on the air.
I bet you were amazing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, Lisa, if that were your schedule, where you stayed up all night and then did the show at the end of the day?
That would not be good for me.
It wasn't my plan. It's just how it started ending up, because I would go in and do the show. And one night I remember just being out with my friends and going, I better go home. And then it was them dropping me off, throwing beer cans at me, going, you're getting fired. And it was like my best day on the air. The boss came in. He's like, whatever you did, do it again.
Wow.
And I was like, okay.
Our bosses have never said that to us. I'll tell you that. They're like, whatever you did, can you try something else tomorrow?
But you peaked at that moment, right?
Yeah, I couldn't. I mean, like,
you can't sustain that, right?
I put a bed in the green room and I would go sleep in between, like during breaks.
Oh my God.
Refresh my memory, Eddie. What kind of a show were you doing?
I was doing sports radio, WNEW.
Thought it was sports. Okay.
And I was not great at sports. I didn't know a lot. And they would have me do sports.
How did you end up doing sports?
I went in as a guest one day, and they were like, hey, you want to come back tomorrow? And I was like, all right. And I came back the next day, and then they were like, hey, you want a job? And I was like, no. And then they threw enough money. I was like, okay, I guess I'll do this.
Were you doing comedy at the time?
Yeah. I was doing stand-up at night.
That's why you were staying up all night.
Yeah.
Because you get done and it's 1 or 2 a.m. and then you're like, what's the point of going to sleep if I've got to get up at 4 anyway? Right?
Yeah, because you can't wind down. People think, done at 2, you're not in bed at 2:05.
Right.
So.
Do you still follow sports at all closely?
Some sports.
I hate that we don't have a sports guy on the Kevin and Bean show. They just decided,
throw him a job?
No. But we had a sports guy for many years. Jimmy Kimmel, obviously, was our sports guy for 5 years. Matt Money Smith from the Petrus and Money Show, he was our sports guy. We had a couple of others. We loved having a sports guy because we all love sports, but they decided that just wasn't someplace that was worth spending the money on. And you come in on a day like today after that Miami Heat game, for instance, and that's all you want to talk about, and we just don't have a place for it. You know what I mean? It just drives me crazy.
Mine was a little bit that I grew up in Pittsburgh, so I'm a big fan of Pittsburgh sports. Mm-hmm. And I was in New York doing New York sports, and it doesn't go well. when you're not watching the Jets game and you're talking about Ben Roethlisberger every 5 minutes, and the fans were just like, I'm gonna kill him.
Now the one thing I know about Steelers fans, and maybe you're like this, is you don't care who Ben Roethlisberger rapes as long as you get a turn, right? That's how much you love him and that team.
Hey, I'm not that I want to turn. I'm guarding the bathroom door.
Right. Whatever he needs, you can take care of him.
You may as well be doing it, too. You know that.
I used to have a joke in Pittsburgh where I said, Pittsburgh's the only city where you could have sex with Ben Roethlisberger and your friends wouldn't think you're gay.
Right, like, exactly.
They'd call you and be like, what was it like, dude? Tell me.
Tell me everything.
Did he whisper plays in your ear?
By the way, is he getting fat? Every time I see him now, it looks like he's gained like 80 pounds since he used to, what he used to wear.
I think just in his neck.
Yeah, maybe that's
what it is. He's one of those guys that gets, you know, some people are like, it's going to my ankles. It's all going to his neck.
That's creepy.
Yeah,
Eddie Ift is here and is in town, by the way, because he's playing at the Ice House, which is phenomenal, in Pasadena. That's going to be tomorrow night and Saturday night. 18 and over shows. Tickets are on sale now. And, of course, the Eddie Ift podcast available through iTunes. Now, you have been back to Australia since the last time we saw you.
I just got back Monday. Yeah.
That is, and did you bring Dave some Tim Tams? I know that's all he talks about is that goddamn candy.
What is a Tim Tam?
A Tim Tam is this chocolate biscuit. It's the best thing in the world. And it's like a biscuit. It's covered in chocolate. And what you do, they have this thing called a Tim Tam Slam where you bite off the ends of it and then you use it as a straw. And you suck coffee or tea through the biscuit, and it melts while the coffee and tea are in it, and you have to, like, throw it in your mouth and eat it really quickly. But on my podcast, a friend of ours brought them from Australia, and we ended up doing them with vodka. Not so
that
good.
That must have been awesome. No, not good? Chocolate and vodka, not a good combination?
It's like, you know, the Reese's, like, two great things, you know?
Right.
This is, like, two great things that make the worst thing.
Is there a U.S. equivalent to the Tim Tam? Like, could you do the same straw trick with a Kit Kat or something?
Maybe, but I just Twittered about it, and I think people are sending me, like, info of where you can actually get them. Because I know they're really hard to get in the United States.
Right, right.
But they're good. They're good.
Interesting. Now, why do you go back to Australia so much? Is it just because, for whatever reason, you've just struck a chord in that country and you're, like, their comedy genius?
They haven't figured out I'm not funny. They just...
They're the last country standing.
Yeah, they don't know. Apparently, they don't have the internet or something. It's just been a great market, you know? Like David Hasselhoff does well in Germany.
Right.
Right.
I'm the David Hasselhoff of Australia.
The whole country or just one city that's big for you?
The whole country is going well, really well. Like, I have this.
Are you on TV a lot there or something?
Yeah, yeah.
How do they know you?
I do a lot of TV shows. I do anytime they've got a comedy TV show, I somehow end up on it.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's exciting. And there's a few Americans that are really big down there. Arch Barker is
never heard of him. I've never heard of Arj Barker.
He was on Flight of the Conchords. He was Dave on Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yes,
and
yes.
He's massive down there. And
isn't that interesting? So, are you literally recognizable on the streets in Australia?
Would you
say it's like that more so than in America? I bet.
Way more.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of fun and it's kind of neat to come back and be unrecognizable again.
Because I always think that's fascinating, and there are a lot of people who are very famous in one part of the world, and it must be so great to be able to go to another country and have nobody know who you are and just be a regular person again.
Well,
it
was funny. When I went there this year, I was going through customs. First person I meet is the custom agent, and he goes, hey. He goes, you're a comedian. And I went, yeah, how'd you know? He goes, you wrote it on your declarations form.
Eddie Ift is here at the Ice House Friday and Saturday night. We have so much we want to talk to you about, Eddie, including I understand that we just had Andy Dick in here, yesterday, Lisa, or the day before? You were on the same episode of Legit as him. I still have it on my DVR. I haven't watched it,
He touched me.
Did he now? Interesting. He touched me when he was in, but we weren't even making a TV show. We want to talk about that and so much more with our friend Eddie Ift right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Eddie Ift in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show at the world famous K-Rock. Eddie, of course, was on the bill last year for the April Foolishness Show. How was that for you, Eddie, as a comedian playing 6,000 people up there at the Gibson?
Probably, and I'm not lying when I say this, probably the greatest show of my life.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's such an awesome time.
And then I get shafted.
It's a fun night.
I get shafted. I'm not on it this
year.
We try to mix it up.
Yeah.
We don't want people to think it's going to be the same lineup every year. We do have some repeating, some visitors.
I had to get a standing ovation like Brad Williams, and then you get invited back.
Jay Moore, Bill Burr, Doug Benson, Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir, Brad Williams. Just added DJ for the night is going to be our friend Mike Realm, the world's greatest video remixer. It's a super, super good lineup. I hope you'll come at least as our guest.
I would love to. That is one of the greatest lineups I've ever – that is incredible.
No, we love this show. We look forward to it every year. And, you know, you'll come back if you want. We'll definitely have you on another year. Eddie is at the – yes, go ahead.
If you haven't seen Bill Burr do comedy, it's like we are talking about not seeing the ocean. Like, you have to – you can't say you've watched comedy if you haven't seen Bill Burr.
Wow, that's a big statement.
He's great. Eddie is going to be on stage at the Ice House in Pasadena, which I know is one of your favorite places to play. You're going to be there tomorrow night with two shows, Saturday night with two shows. Any word for your Mexican fans? You're looking for them to come out and support you again this weekend?
Where are my Mexicans and where are the I need the podcast fans. I don't know where they are right now.
Why do the Mexicans like you so much, Eddie?
I don't know. I haven't figured it out.
The Mexicans and the Australians. I can't figure out your appeal.
I don't get it. I said one night I went to my show. I looked at it. The whole audience was Mexican. And I said, we should have just done the show at Home Depot.
Do you wear a Morrissey shirt on stage or something? What's happening?
I don't know why, but they come out.
Well, come on, Mexicans and podcasters. Get your tickets to see Eddie on stage at the Ice House this weekend. Now, before the break, I think we mentioned that you were on Legit, your old friend and roommate Jim Jeffrey show, which, by the way, we were rooting for Jim when this show got picked up, but it has wildly exceeded our expectations. It's not just good. It's great. And it's so awesome that you got to be on it and he got to torture you on it.
Yeah, he basically wrote the episode in mind. Like, his idea was, how do I make Eddie as angry as possible? So he made me do all the things I don't like doing. he made me fat. He 3 hours
you're
of
the CrossFitter, aren't you?
Well, I do CrossFit every day, and I'm also claustrophobic. So they put me in a fat suit. It was like 100 degrees the day we shot, and they put me in prosthetics. It took 3 hours to put me into prosthetics. I'm getting married, and I can't wear a wedding ring because I like to cheat. And and so prosthetics are just like that was like worse than a wedding ring because you're not going to be able to cheat in those.
Sure.
But it was glued to my face, and I said to the guy, if you died, how do I get this off? And he goes, you don't.
And you, of course, you know, you want to support your friend, and he wants you to be on the show. Of course, you're going to say yes, but then he makes it as miserable as he can
as
for you, which
miserable.
Is just so him.
There was a scene where the actress that I had to have a sex scene, and let's just say she was a little on the large side. And she's
another Jeffrey's touch.
Yeah, exactly. She was a big, big, big woman. And the director and Jim look at me and they're like, I'm like, what do you want this kiss to be like? And they go, get into it. Really, really get into it. And while it was going on, at one point I grabbed her leg and lifted it up to like the side, and she was wearing a towel. And I was like, I think my hand went somewhere it wasn't supposed to. And I look over at Jim after the take, and he's on the couch in the scene. He goes, you went for it. He's like, you really? And I go, you told me to. And they made me do about 50 takes.
Of course they did.
And then afterwards, Jim goes, we got it after two.
You're on the same episode as Andy Dick. Now, did you know Andy before?
I know Andy well. He was on my podcast once, and or a bunch of times now, but he was on my podcast, came over to the house. We recorded it out of my house in Venice. And Andy came over, let's just say he was sober at the time, and he didn't leave sober.
You're a bad man.
But it wasn't my fault, and he didn't leave for 3 days.
Way to contribute to the delinquency of an actor.
Yeah, but Andy was there for about 3 days, and he just enjoyed our house and all our friends. And I'd be walking down the boardwalk, and I'd hear from a restaurant, Eddie, let's go. Let's have some lunch. And I'd go, Andy, what are you still doing here? And he'd be like, I can't find my car.
So you would go out and do your business, and then you'd come. And I don't mean to make it sound like you're, you know, a dog in the street, but I'm saying you'd go out and go to the store, whatever you had to do, and you'd come back, and Andy Dick is just still in your house, going home.
Just in my house. And it was really gross. Because my girlfriend lived down the street, and I would go stay with her, and Jim would call me and be like, he's still here.
That's hilarious.
I said, where's he sleeping? He goes, in your bed. And I saw, I saw Andy one day, and he goes, there's no lube in your room.
We've had Andy on. He was just in here this week talking about Dancing with the Stars, and we did the math a little bit. Andy has been coming on our show as a guest for over
20 years, Eddie. So wow. We have had our fair share of seeing him sober and not. And I will tell you, I much prefer the sober Eddie.
I think everybody does. He's yeah. the best guy.
I love him. He genuinely is just the nicest, sweetest guy who's just an F-up. And you do nothing but root for him. Yes. And I'm so happy to see where he's at right now because it seems like he's in a great place.
Yeah, he is. And you just can't – when he's talking, you can't stop listening. You're like, this right. guy is amazing.
Speaking of the podcast, and we only have a minute left before we have to go. One of your fans, Mike, has emailed in, ask Eddie about his recent podcast in which he was beer boarded. That's a thing.
Oh, wow.
I think it was the first person. I was the first person in the world to be beer boarded. We did a podcast with Kenny Hotz from Kenny versus Spenny.
Okay.
Who is one of, if you've ever seen the Kenny versus Spenny show on Comedy Central, Kenny's one of the craziest people in the world. He's one of my heroes. He's hysterical. That show should have won every Emmy. It was amazing. But,
sure better than Homeland, right?
Kenny is amazing. And, we did a thing where I put all the people that work for me on a lie detector test and I asked them questions. And then I was able to challenge their answer, not seeing the answer. And if I was wrong, I had to do something. If they were wrong, they had to do it. And one of the things was to be waterboarded with beer.
Oh, my gosh.
And so
waterboarding, we remember from Zero Dark Thirty, that's where they lay you down, they put the thing over your face, and they start pouring water into it, and it feels like you are drowning.
Yeah. It's. I'll put it on my Twitter, at Eddie Ift. I'll put a clip of it. But it was – I felt like I was drowning, but at the end, it was like it wasn't so bad because if you're going to drown, you might as well do it in beer.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. At least there was an upside to that kind of beer boarding. That's nice.
But the best part about it, though, while it was happening, my girlfriend stormed out of the house. And she was like – while I was on the board backwards, she just steps over me, leaves, and she's like – I hear her go, that's it. That's it. And we're engaged. And they're like, you just lost your wife. And she left, and she didn't come back till the next day. And we had an argument. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, were you really that worried that I was going to die? She goes, no, they were using the good towels.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well, I know she's looking forward to marrying you, Eddie, and to see where you and she and Andy Dick are going to go on the honeymoon. I bet it's going to be a lot of fun. Eddie is on stage at the Ice House in Pasadena. Come on, Eddie, if podcast fans, come on, Mexicans, come on, everybody who loves to laugh. We've been lucky enough to see Eddie a couple times, and he is great. You'll have a fantastic time. Two shows Friday night, two shows Saturday night. Trust us on this one. You'll go see the show, and you'll love it. Eddie, come back anytime, man. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Just when Eddie Eft and I were starting to have fun, get something going, Ralph, we have to stop so Lisa can do traffic.
I know.
Well, people are on the road. They need to know.
For everyone.
These girls are getting on my neck, I got to tell you. 752, System of a Down. Coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to John and Chavo from the band about their upcoming Hollywood Bowl appearance. First, though, Ralph Graber is here, time for the showbiz beat.
Speaking of Lisa May, remember how impressed we all were yesterday when we were talking at Millikan High School?
Look, it was just a guess. I didn't know.
Jake Davidson, the kid who asked Kate Upton to go to his prom
right.
from Millikan High School.
And then Lisa, the human Thomas guide, speaks
right.
up. She tells us exactly where the school is, right?
I said, I know he's from Los Angeles area. It must be around here somewhere. She goes, oh, yes, it's located off of the 60 freeway.
The 10.
In Millikan Street, and that's where it is. And I was like, ladies and gentlemen, Lisa May, a girl
impressive.
Who can't find one of our remote broadcasts, knows that right off the top of her head.
I know where it is now.
Not the location at all. Not the location at all.
It's in Long Beach.
It's in Long Beach.
But it's spelled differently than Millikan.
So, Lisa, once again, wrong.
I hadn't seen the
Fire
spelling.
Beer Mug.
No,
come
on. What does that have to do with Lisa?
I think it would help.
I mean, I want a Fire Beer Mug. Well, don't get me wrong, but I can't see in this particular case how it's his fault. All right, before I get to showbiz news, how about some tickets to a movie that I am looking forward to, about a gentleman I like to call G.I. Joe!
Yo, Joe! He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe! American hero. G.I. Joe is there. It's G.I. Joe against Cobra, the enemy.
G.I. Joe Retaliation. Coming to theaters everywhere on March the 28th, but you can see it at our special K-Rock advance screening of G.I. Joe Retaliation, March the 26th at the AMC Burbank, starring Bruce Willis, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Channing Tatum, Adrian Palicki. That's how I like to say her name. Palicki.
That's icky.
Yeah. Palicki. G.I. Joe movie.com. You can get more details about the movie there. But if you'd like to go, and why wouldn't you? 1-800-520-1067 is a number to call. First five callers to get through get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of G.I. Joe Retaliation. Can't wait to see that movie. In the words of the late Kevin Ryder, it looks loud.
I think Kevin's still alive. He's just on vacation. He'll be back Monday.
Oh, Bean, you're so cute. How you continue to believe. John Hamm and I have a lot in common, besides devastating good looks, remarkable talent as an actor, able to do comedy and drama at the flip of a coin.
Wait, is Pat O'Brien doing the showbiz beat? What's going on here?
Now, listen here, Bean. You know where I am. You can see me now, Ventura and Sepulveda.
Right, but you're just as you're just as big a star as John Hamm, though, right, Pat?
Yeah, by the way. I can do it. Ask Hartman. He knows.
But now John and I have another problem to deal with. I didn't know we had this in common, but apparently our penises are too big.
I thought yours was the boys.
What happened?
I thought it was the jewels was your issue.
Don't get me wrong. I do have a massive set. But, you know, it's all
part,
you know,
and parcel, all, would you say?
Yeah, exactly. It's all, you know, in relative perspective.
Really?
There's something very disturbing about the testicles.
New York Daily News reports that John Hamm has been told by a show staffer at Mad Men that he no longer can go commando in his costumes. The show is now taking place in the late 60s, where, and I quote the Daily News, where the pants are very tight and leave little to the imagination. John's impressive anatomy is so distracting that a show staffer politely insisted on underwear.
I'm sorry, I have an erection!
So, he's got to tone down the monster. He's got to tame the dragon.
Hilarious.
The insider also claims to the New York Daily News that AMC has had to use Photoshop in previous years during Mad Men's promotional packages to tone down John's promotional package. So,
love him more every day.
Yeah, as if, really? That guy now has had, what? Hey, really? Not enough
it's
that he's
just unfair.
Great looking, and he's super talented, and women love him, and he's got a very happy relationship he's had for years, but women still just go for him in droves, and he's funny on 30 Rock and Saturday Night Live, and is also great dramatically on Mad Men. And now he's got a massive ham hock as well.
Yeah,
it's just
there's
unfair.
nothing wrong with
him. Come on, John Hamm. Leave a little something for the rest of us, won't you? In celebrity crime news, Bobby Brown has turned himself in. At the Los Angeles Times, says that he showed up at the Towntown Courthouse yesterday pleading no contest to a DUI and driving on a suspended license last month. Bobby will do 55 days behind bars.
Are they just going to pop him back out, though?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Guilty, 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 guilty.
Listen, Lindsay Lohan, not to compare the two, because driving while intoxicated is a horrible offense. But, come on. She gets nothing but breaks and 90 days in a rehab facility and whatever. He's got to do 55 days inside the real deal? Couldn't we get him a program?
Yeah, I agree. It does sound like they're coming down on the brother, doesn't it?
He's got to serve 4 years on informal probation and do an 18-month alcohol treatment program once he gets out of jail in 55 days.
So fire beer mug.
Exactly, exactly. Beer mug keeps giving him booze.
Hey, Ralph, not to muddy the waters on how bad...
Muddy Waters is going to be on the show?
On how bad and how wrong the girl is when she gives us details on where things are in Southern California.
Yeah.
This listener, Mark, writes in and says, although there is a Millikan High School in Long Beach, the kid who asked Kate Upton out is from Millikan Community High School in Bel Air.
Ah, Millikan.
That's what he
not
says.
Millikan.
Millikan.
Millikan. Millikan Community
in Bel Air.
High School in Bel Air.
Is
I think
what
it's a private Jewish school, actually,
Well, that would make sense based on what the kid we saw in the video. Yeah,
yes,
but that's
I
what
would
Marcus
like you,
tells us.
Kate Upton, to go with me to the prom.
So not so much with the Long Beach, I guess.
Strike
you know what?
Three, you're out.
I don't really care.
Well,
to be honest.
Stop volunteering information like you know stuff.
You were wondering, I know where a major street named Millikan is in Los Angeles. I didn't say it was there. I said that might be where it is.
You know where Ventura and Sepulveda is?
Yes. Just
come down there in the corner. I'll be there. You know what I look like. I'll lay you out. Ask Hartman. He knows.
I hear there's a hospital
wow,
there.
Lisa. I really admire your guts.
The hospital right there. I won't take you to it, but you'll be going there.
Sure. You're going to beat up Lisa because she was wrong about this?
Lisa. We're not
you just want to fight with everyone?
School is. Ask Hartman. He knows. He knows where it is.
I'm surprised there weren't any celebrities that came out of that high school that you knew, Pat.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to Jimmy Fallon last night. You know, sometimes we jam together. You know, he's a musician, so am I. Play the keyboard. Right. And, you know, he's going to be taking over the Tonight Show.
That's what so I understand. Yeah,
I was thinking maybe, you know, Pat O'Brien's primetime Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. How about that? That sounds
that
good to me.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
Two of us teaming up, doing a little late night television.
I think Fallon's doing fine without you.
One of the few areas in television where I haven't conquered. You know, of course, done regular broadcasting and entertainment news as well as sports. CBS Sports, I was involved with them for
right.
many
we don't years. Actually need your resume every time you stop by,
I think
Pat,
Jimmy found Jimmy and Pat, the Tonight okay. Show. What do you think?
I think Jimmy's fine on his own. I think he's doing a great job. I don't think he needs you at all. Probably
I
doesn't
agree.
Even know
I
you.
I agree. Pretty good idea. New York Times says Jimmy Fallon will be taking over the Tonight Show. 2014 is the date they're giving. And the Tonight Show will move to New York City.
This is huge. Television news.
Yeah. Yes.
This is quite the shakeup. The Tonight Show has been in Southern California since what, Ralph? 1972?
Yes, that's right. When Johnny Carson moved it here from New York City.
And people are wondering, why screw with a good thing? It's that they realize that Jimmy Kimmel is going to be cleaning Jay Leno's clock soon, the way he's going with younger viewers.
However, the Tonight Show is the only highly rated show on NBC. So some
right.
people are saying you should treat Leno like the Pope and let
right.
him just have the gig until he decides to walk away instead of pushing him out. And apparently they are pushing him out because now Leno is starting to take shots at NBC during his monologue.
Jesus.
So it's late night drama all over again there on NBC. So.
He doesn't make anything easy for anybody, does he?
No, he does not.
Just go already.
He's got more money than God. He doesn't need anything. Just they don't want you there. Take
yeah.
the hint and go away.
Right.
But
it's embarrassing.
He is fighting once again for the captaincy of the Tonight Show.
Of course he is. Okay. He's hiding in a closet somewhere listening to meetings.
I think Pat O'Brien would be good on Tonight Show.
I bet you do, Pat.
Yeah. Tonight with Pat. How about that?
You're going to do Ryan. Both shows now? You're going to do the Leno Show and the Fallon Show?
And Primetime with Steve Hartman. AM radio is where it's at, everybody. You know
that's
that.
What I hear.
Today's celebrity birthday is Timothy Dalton from Living Daylights.
The good James Bond.
He was not the good James Bond. He was
the only one that matters.
He was a failure as James Bond. Not his fault. The movies were not great, but he did not quite bring it. I think he's a talented actor in other areas. For example, in Flash Gordon. It's awesome. Flash! He's 67 years old today. Gary Oldman, very talented actor, 55 years old. Matthew Broderick is 51. Rosie O'Donnell also turns 51. Kevin Federline. Whatever happened to K-Fed? Where is he? I miss him. Popo Sal.
I think he's just spending the Britney Spears child support money and just, you know, worried about the day those kids turn 18. He doesn't get that big check anymore.
I don't blame him. 35. Derek Whibley of Sum 41 is 33. And Eddie Money.
I've got two tickets to paradise. Pack your bags, we'll leave tonight.
Eddie. Oh, you're the best. Remember that time I performed with him on stage at the Orange County Fair? Oh, one of the highlights
I don't remember
of my
it
life.
The same way you remember
one
it, Ralph. I know that.
One of the highlights of my life. Walking out on that stage and finding myself alone because Eddie Money had left the stage and was in his bus.
Had completely forgotten that you guys had played the sing together.
That we were going to do a duet together. Highlights of my life. He's 64 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You should have never trusted Hollywood. The most loneliest day of my life. Oh, I'm in a vision. I'm in the cool regular cause what we see about what's about what's about. Welcome to the most cruel thing. Everybody's going to the party, have a real good time.
Psycho groupie, cocaine crazy, psycho groupie. Cool. The spider's all in tune. Self-righteous suicide. The toxicity of our city. Where we are. Hey man, look at me rocking now. I'm on the radio.
And that is just a little taste of why are they are one of K-Rock's all-time favorite bands, System of a Down. Ladies and gentlemen, Shabo and John from the band joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Chavo, you are hilarious. You never cease to crack me up when you come in, because first of all, you never stop talking, which I love. You're a guy, I can't tell if it's drugs or it's just you're high on
it's
life
drugs,
or what
bro.
The deal is.
It's drugs.
It is good
drugs.
For the radio.
Hardcore
you are having drugs. The time of your life. How long have you been up already today, sir?
About 87 hours and counting. Are you kidding me? I have a wife and kid at home. Drugs. No, I was just telling the story about how I had to be picked up at 6 a.m. this morning. And, yeah, okay, I play in a band, so I write music at night, you know? That's when
sure.
That's when the art comes out.
Yeah,
that's
our
when...
show is on at an inconvenient time for many musicians. I
it's
do understand
good.
That.
It's all good. So I'm here, right? And
how much TV have you already watched today?
Okay, well, I'm all about the Netflix and the Hulu right now.
Yeah.
For some sure. reason. Because I get to see everything back to back, you know?
Yeah.
And so last night, because I knew I was going to be picked up at 6 o'clock, right? And it was 1 o'clock. I was calming down finally. So I threw on Hell's Kitchen and I got locked. You know? Gordon Ramsay screwed me. You know? All of a sudden, I'm just all about it. And then I wrote a song, I think. Because it sounded really great at 5 a.m. All right?
Yeah.
Then I jumped in the shower, got in the car, and here I am.
We're going to cut. That part right there.
You made me do
the radio.
See, I knew. I told him. I was on the phone with him when I was like, you didn't make me do that. And he did. I knew it.
And, that's John, dude. John, meanwhile, from System of a Down, playing drums, of course. What was your night last night like, knowing that you had to get up early this morning?
Well, I think I went to sleep at 10:30.
Lucky.
You guys are in the same band, but you couldn't be more different.
I wish I could sleep at 10:30. If I could, I would. No doubt. I mean, I would love to do that. If I could pass out at 10:30, I mean, it would make my marriage better.
Yeah. Sure.
No joke. I swear.
Sleep is good. It turns out.
No, sleep is great, but I just sleep at the. Like, I should be in Australia or
keep in mind, I live in Vegas.
Yeah.
And you have to take those 10:30 nights when you can get them.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
All right. Let's catch up with what's going on in the world. Oh, System of a Down. Everybody was very excited to hear you guys were coming in today and very excited, obviously, about the show at the Hollywood Bowl. Now, this is, if we are to believe what you're telling us, your only United States performance in 2013, correct?
That's right.
Por qué?
U.S. show.
What's going on?
Por qué?
We only had plans to do Europe. We had 13 or 14 shows in Europe booked. And actually, me and Chavo were talking about it. We were like, you know, we're going to do rehearsals in L.A. Mm-hmm. We live in L.A., or most of us do. We came up in L.A. We got signed in L.A. Everything happened in L.A., so why aren't we playing L.A.?
So in other words, rather than just rehearse and then hit the road, you thought, let's at least play one show here before we go.
Let's play one show, make everybody happy, make our family happy. We have friends that want to see us. We haven't played here in about 2 years. Mm-hmm. Before that, we hadn't played in 5 years or 6 years.
Yeah.
Right.
A nightmare.
And this is our home. You know, even though I don't live in L.A. anymore, it's still my home.
Of course. That's where, you know, a lot of your friends are and stuff. So then you have the choice of any venue in Southern California. How did it end up being at the Hollywood Bowl? And don't you think your band will put a permanent stain on that celebrated venue?
Okay. Let me take this one. It's been a dream of mine. Okay. It started off with, you know, how you have a bucket list, but it was more like a band list, you know? Mm-hmm. And it started with a forum. It started with the whiskey, you know? Just to be able to play the whiskey. That
yeah,
was
sure.
Insane. I was on that stage for the first
time. Well, it started with Rick Rubin.
Really, well, no. Prior to Rick, just getting on the stage at the whiskey in 95.
Yeah, and at the time, that's insane. As big as you can dream. You just go, oh my God, if
Jim
our band
Morrison
could only play the whiskey.
The stage. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And then the Anti-Club, which I knew Henry Rollins, you know, that's where Rollins, Black Flag started. And then the Forum. And then. So on and so on. And then we played the Coliseum, I think, with Metallica, and that was crazy. And then, but I've always, always wanted to do the Bowl, because the Bowl is classy. You know, it's legend, right?
Yes.
But that's my point. Who fits in a classy venue less than System of a Down?
Well, that's what I've been saying for the last 20 years.
You guys are going to burn that mother down.
And thank you very much. And this is our 20th anniversary, by the way, 2013. It's all. We've been a band for 20 years
now. Oh, my God.
Now.
Yeah.
Have you seen any shows? Have either of you guys seen shows at the Bowl?
I have.
What have you seen
there?
I
have there? As well.
You're going to laugh and die. I've seen actually two. Well, no, one. Okay, one. It was Cool in the Gang. Swear to God. Le Chic,
right?
Chic and
Cool in the Gang.
I say Le Chic because that's the song, you know.
Le Freak is the song by Chic. Right?
Sorry.
That's okay. No, Cool and the Gang is Chic. That's your show.
A guest of him himself. I don't know. Weird. Anyways, I was sitting by his mom. Okay,
I love like, Chavo.
We're in the front watching them, and before them was the Village People. For God's
sake, there you go. There's the show.
So I was YMCing it all the way through with Le Chic's mom. it was great.
And John, how about you? What did you see at the ball?
You know, when I was a kid, my dad took me there for the Playboy Jazz Festival.
Oh, there you go. Now, that's cool. Part of what made the Hollywood Bowl classic is that show every year.
And then I also saw The Who there right after Entwistle passed away. I was going to see him in Vegas. I didn't live in Vegas at the time. I flew to Vegas. The guy passed away that night. I came back dejected, and then Monday they played. And it was I've seen The Who a couple of times, and that was the best time I've seen them because there was so much emotion. You know, having Entwistle just pass away.
Oh, of course, yeah, of course. And it is a legendary venue. Obviously, the Beatles played there. The Doors played there. I mean, everybody played there.
It's going to be sad that this is the last show that's going to happen there.
Yeah, it is going to be a shame when they tear it down or condemn it after System of a Down fans are... All right, listen, we have to take a quick break. This is the only chance to see them in the United States, and it's July 29th at the Hollywood Bowl, one of the great live bands in the world today, System of a Down. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m., Friday at 10, you can get your tickets through Ticketmaster. Now, we are also giving away tickets here on K-Rock, and when you win those, and we have those coming up again soon, you qualify to see the band in Milan, Italy, which is one of their many European tour dates. More with our guests, Chavo and John from System, when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Obviously, Cool and the Gang opens for System of a Down. That's the answer, guys. If you're looking for an opening act, come on. Use your hands.
You know, I don't appreciate you giving away all the secrets.
Sorry.
Let us do it on our time.
Chavo and John from System of a Down are here on the Kevin and Bean Show at the world-famous K-Rock. Chavo, I was saying how happy we always are whenever any of you guys spend some time with us here on K-Rock, and you were saying you kind of feel the same way. You've been on this radio station and listening to this radio station for a long-ass time, right?
Dude, I was in Hollywood listening to this when I was like 6-7 years old.
The band is playing the Hollywood Bowl, as we have mentioned, and that is coming up on July the 29th. Tickets are going on sale Friday morning at 10. Not like System fans need me to tell you that. I'm sure you've got clocks set on your iPhone so you don't miss it. But, John, you had an idea because we're doing this grand prize flyaway where one listener who wins tickets from us this week also gets to see you in Milan, Italy. You wanted to sweeten the pot a little bit.
Oh, damn, I promised something. That's right.
I heard you.
I just remembered.
What was your idea, John?
Well, I thought it'd be cool if we had breakfast or lunch or dinner, whatever, some kind of meal, depending on what time Chavo wakes up, with the winners.
You know, so the people who win the trip to Italy also get to have a meal with you guys.
Maybe. Yeah, I think that'd be cool. We're not promising this.
No, I'm promising it. Oh. It's going to happen.
You said.
What did you say?
A hard yes or no. And you said, I just said yes three times.
I know this whole thing's being recorded. So.
Listen, it's happening. It's done. It's a done deal.
I think that's so cool.
Okay, look, I'm in.
But they're paying.
Oh, right.
Sure they will.
Yeah, the fan has to pay, right?
The fan has to pay for the burger.
Let me see.
Wait, did you say Milan?
Milan. Yes, Milan.
Of course I'm in, bro.
Oh, what did you think it was? Hamburg?
No.
What difference does it make?
I'm in too. No, I'm just kidding. But, Milan, it's like when you go there. By the way, I'm a foodie. Like I love to eat, you know, just the right portions.
you and Gordon Ramsay. No, I know.
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay. I was watching Hell's Kitchen for like last night. My head is just like right now.
All right, we're losing Chavo. Listen, I got a show to do here, buddy.
Rein it in, guys.
The food is so amazing that of course I'm in.
It's, focus.
Yeah, like I wait to get hungry there just so I can eat more because it's
okay,
so good.
Good story. Hey,
really?
I threw it up on
Twitter for the rest of the show.
No, I threw it up on Twitter to see if there were any questions that people wanted me to ask. No, please come back, Chavo.
Come on, Marco.
Writes in Kevin and Bean plus System of a Down. I'm skipping class for this. Thank you, Marco. Love that you're out there. Here's one who wants to know. Sean writes in. Do you guys prefer hummus or baba ganoush?
Mm-hmm. Both.
Any thoughts? You like them both, Chavo? How about you? Oh, he's butthurt. He's all hurt now. Come on. It's a food question. You have
he likes
to
it
love
all.
It.
He likes it all, but depending on the portions.
Yeah, it all matters with the portions.
How often do you guys talk to – you sound like you're all good friends in this band. But how often do you guys talk to each other when you don't have a tour to talk about?
About once a year.
For reals?
It matters. No, it just matters which member you're talking about.
Well, listen, Serge lives in New Zealand for about 4 or 5 months out of the year. So with Serge, it's more like email and text, that kind of stuff.
He lives in New Zealand?
How did he make that choice?
What happened? Is he farming? What's going on?
It's almost the same commute as going to Culver City from Burbank.
Right. Right, exactly.
Yeah, seriously, that's what took me, like, New Zealand to
I'd say for
LA.
Sure me and Chavo talk the most.
Right.
You know, because both of us like to talk, and I love hearing him talk. Sure. Sometimes I'll just put the phone down, you know, for an hour, 2 hours.
Is it? Since and then you just come back and you're still talking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it awkward at all that the giant elephant in the room is always, this is great and I love that we're playing these shows this summer, but at some point, are we going to talk about new music? Is that something that just doesn't come up, or does it come up and you guys just...
I just got crushed by the giant elephant in this
room. That's what I'm afraid of. Or does it come up and it's just you guys go, well, we don't even want to talk about it right now.
No, not at all. We have talked about it. We are going to make a new album at a certain point. It's just a matter of when the four of us decide it's the right time to make it. And we are talking about it. So it's
something you all want to do, though, when the time is right.
Well, that's the key. We don't want anybody to go in there and do it because the rest of us want to do it, you know?
Right. Right.
We all want to do it because it's the right thing to do for everybody. And I wouldn't want to go in and make an album that doesn't represent the best that we have to offer.
Right.
And if you force someone into the studio ahead of when they're ready for it, then you're probably going to make something mediocre.
Yeah, then the art suffers, and why ruin a great thing?
Listen, albums are forever. You know, when you make an album, it's going to stay with people for as long as we're alive and maybe as long as they're alive.
Sure.
And maybe even longer than that. People might enjoy it after we're done.
But how wonderful as musicians to know now, 7 years after the last album came out or something? How wonderful is it that people are still so... you know, invested in your group and still so eager to hear something from you? I mean, that's got to be a great feeling.
Well, we're incredibly lucky. You know, we have taken a long break and our fans have stuck with us. And we've actually built up a following of new fans who have never seen us live. That's part of the reason we're playing this show.
Yeah, because you've never been off the radio. Your songs still get played. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, you know how it is. The kid that was 13 is now 15. And he didn't get a chance to see us, or he or she didn't get a chance to see us at the forum.
And all of a sudden, Sugar comes up on Spotify, and they go, oh, my God, what's this song? This is awesome. Who's this band? Right, exactly. All right, Hollywood Bowl is where it's going to be going down. The only performance in the United States of America for 2013. That is going to be on July the 29th. Again, I just want to remind everybody that it's System of a Down we're talking about. This is what you're going to be hearing at the Hollywood Bowl.
It's a violent pornography. Joking chicks and sodomy, the kind of you get on your TV.
That's the band that's been invited to play at the beautiful Hollywood Bowl with their little turkey sandwiches and their bottles of wine sitting out under the stars.
Well, don't forget the cheese.
It's going to be either a mess or it's going to be the greatest rock show of all time. And then,
that's
of course, you can
be the mess.
Yeah, you can go to systemofdown.com if you feel like it and follow the band around the world because they're playing everywhere. They're playing Russia and Germany and Finland and Britain and just all over the damn world except for here. So awesome, Chavo and John.
Don't leave
to
it like that because that sucks because we do want to play here. It's just not happening.
No, I understand. Yeah. Dude, it happens when it happens.
We really, really want to play America.
And I know you will.
We will, you know?
We are playing America.
So we don't want to leave.
We're playing Los Angeles. And
I know, but I do want to play.
We did shows on the East Coast last year and the year before that. We did shows on the West Coast.
Hating going on here.
No, I personally want to say this, that I really enjoy playing America. I love the South. I miss the South. I miss playing some of the Midwest. You know what I mean? So
You'll be back,
dude. We do plan on, doing that, of course. So I want the
world to know. Well, Chavo, John, always fabulous to have you on the Kevin DeMeech Show. We really appreciate the time, and we'll see you this summer, right, man?
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us, guys. And by the way, I'd like to give a shout-out to Serge, who's probably just waking up, and Darren, who's probably just going to sleep.
Dr. Drew is the co-host of Loveline, Sunday through Thursday nights here on the world-famous K-Rock. Also hosts On Call weeknights at 9 on HLN. He's got the Dr. Drew podcast. He's got the Mike and Drew podcast. He's got the Adam and Dr. Drew show, which is going on tour. You can go to adamcarolla.com to buy those tickets. And he's on our phone here on K-Rock right now. Doctor, what's up, my friend?
Bean, where you been?
I was on vacation last week. The monkey's out this week.
Okay. Well, no, I know he's out because he and his lovely wife, Melissa, have been sending me emails. They made sure their hotel had HLN so they could monitor the Jody Arias case while they're on vacation.
Oh my God.
Drew, this is one of the things I wanted to talk to you about because, you know, I like to check in on your show from time to time. And last night it was an entire hour of you guys gabbing about this stupid trial. What's going on? Why is this thing, why is this taking over your life, Drew?
It's not taking over my life. Listen, I think I told you, you weren't here last time I talked about it. Kobe Bryant came up to me during a Laker game and said, hey, man, I want to chit-chat about Jody Arias. And I thought, oh my God, we have crossed over.
Yes.
Last night, Dr. Drew had like, am I lying if I said 20 different guests, everybody from attorneys to jury experts. It seemed like you had psychics. You just had lie detector experts. All of them looked like they came out of Supermodel Central casting. I've never seen more hot blonde women on one show in my life. Where do you find these people, Drew?
We mine carefully. And what I like about them, not only are they very, very attractive, but they are really bright and very much leaders in their field. And I only used a couple of the ones that I've got in my back pocket. We've got some great guests.
Why are people so obsessed with this trial?
Well, that's what I try to figure out.
Because I'm not.
Well, is not a good sign. But I'm just saying that I try to figure it out myself. And again, like I said, when Kobe became interested, I thought, what is this? I think it's the fact that she murdered this guy so brutally. She doesn't seem like somebody who's capable of that.
Because she's just little and pretty, right?
Right, and she's sexual and whatever. And guys are scrolling through in their mind, well, could I have been with somebody like this? Could this have happened to me? Who did I know like this? Or am I with a girl like that? And the way she lies is so... Yeah. Again, it's unbelievable. You just see, it's like a car accident where you're like, how could this be? I feel like I'm out of body when I watch this. So everyone's trying to figure it out, and we're trying to help them understand by talking to experts about how people could be this way.
Last night on the show, Lisa, Dr. Drew's angle was, what reality show should Jody Arias be on? Should she be on The Bachelor? Should she be on Survivor? Because she's got all these facets of her personality where it looks like she's playing a game, right?
She has skills.
Well, it's become its own reality show, and I think my producers are getting a little cute. Are they? Nearly, I saw the shark up ahead in the water as I was water skiing forward, and I figured we better not jump that baby. We got to pull back a little bit.
Well, listen, Jody aside, do you mind if I ask you to explain something to me, Dr. Drew?
But before you do, I just got to say, so I walked off the set to an email from Melissa, from Kevin's wife.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Commenting just on the show, wanting more questions answered.
Isn't that
a little
evaluation.
I'll expect the same tonight.
All right. I have become fascinated with a story here in the Pacific Northwest about a woman, and I'm sure you talked about it on your show at the time, Drew, a couple of years ago down in Vancouver, Washington, just north of Portland, who had body dysmorphic dysfunction.
Yeah.
And she hated the way she looked. She said she would see this horrific image in the mirror. It was just terrifying. I didn't want to go on anymore because I thought I looked like that. She was one of these people, and I'm sure you've treated them and talked about them and talked to them, Dr. Drew, who would stand in front of a mirror and hate what she saw. Like she would scratch at a freckle for 3 hours.
Let's describe to people. Really classically, body dysmorphia is actually about the face.
Yes, this is her face, right,
yeah,
right.
Preoccupation about the face. I think a lot of people are also aware that body dysmorphia is a component of eating disorders where people look in the mirror, they're thin, they have anorexia, but they see fat. It's a distortion of how your body looks and really through a prism of how you feel about it. So
exactly.
This is her face.
This was her face. So she hated her face, and she had it so bad, Dr. Drew, and again, I know you're going to remember this case when I give you this compelling detail, that she bought acid from a hardware store and doused her face in it because she would rather have no face than look at the face she had.
Yes, that is how extreme people can
And react. At the time, she was a sensation because she originally lied and said that somebody had done it. And she's got a whole explanation about how she was running down the street and she was in so much pain and she just needed help. And somebody came up and said, did somebody do this to you? And she said yes. And she said that was the beginning. She stepped her foot in it and she couldn't go back. And she lied to the media and lied to the police for weeks. And then eventually it was revealed that she did it to herself and she was so embarrassed and so ashamed. And she went off to all this treatment and all this therapy and all this medicine. And it seems like she's kind of gotten past that, and now she looks at her face and wishes she had the face that she once hated back.
Of course. And so this is why it's so important that people get treatment, the treatment works, before they harm themselves or harm somebody else or pull off a Jody Arias or whatever it is. Please, people, when you're getting extreme distorted thinking, your extreme impulses that don't seem right, reach out. And part of body dysmorphia, too, is a sense of shame and embarrassment about not only how they look, but how they feel about how they look. They feel kind of crazy.
But how does something like that start? I mean, she seemed like she came from a regular, normal family. She's a young
20-something, pretty, you know, girl, and anyone would look at her and go, "Wow, that's a nice-looking lady." Like, how? Well, where does it begin?
But how about the people with eating disorders with normal bodies who are
right,
themselves? It's
right.
The same idea. And you usually do find some kind of abuse. I mean, extreme situations like this. There's different kinds of abuse, different kinds of parental traumas that can occur associated with eating disorders. But this kind of extreme stuff, you usually find real overt abuse. I remember back when we were doing Life Changers in the afternoon on CW, We had some people that were doing self-administered plastic surgery on themselves, filing their teeth down, operating with cuticle scissors on their eyes.
Oh, my
that's
God.
Another, yes, that's another version of the same thing. It's a little more controlled, and people go, "Oh, of course she's doing her own plastic surgery." No, of course. It's the same thing. It's just like applying, it's just more sort of impulsive by applying acid.
It is just unbelievable that somebody could get to a point where they hate their looks so much that they pour acid on their face.
We started out this conversation by being by asking what interests people about Jodi Arias. This is that same wonderment, how people's thinking, how people's behavior can be so off, and they can, and that's the fact. And the reality is, I think one of the take-home message here is that thinking, the thing we rely upon to make judgments, our rational brain, serves dysfunction when you have a mental illness. We call it stinking thinking in the addiction field. People start thinking good things, they start thinking that certain things are good ideas when in fact they're the equivalent of putting acid on your face.
And most people who have body dysmorphic disorders can get treatment, can be helped through therapy and medication, or no? Yes, they can.
Absolutely, 100%. And so it doesn't have to happen, Bean. So thank you for bringing this up, Bean.
Love Line, Sunday through Thursday nights here on K-Rock. Dr. Drew On Call airs weeknights on HLN, even in Mexico on vacation. You can go to drdrew.com, podcast1.com, and adamcarolla.com for all the podcasts and live shows. Thanks, Doc. We'll talk to you next week.
You can do that when you're on vacation. I don't recommend it.
Bye-bye.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Fire Beer Mug.
Thank you, Lisa. 8:53 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We got a brand new internet roundup for you coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
TV news in the showbiz beat this morning. Congratulations to everyone over there at CSI. CBS has picked up another season of the show, making it the 14th season.
Wow.
Longest running scripted series on CBS. The entire cast, including Ted Danson, its star, has been signed for an upcoming season as well. So, still there. Still in the top 10, by the way, CSI.
Wow. Where's What's-His-Face? What's he doing now?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I feel. Feel What's-His-Face.
You know who I mean. Mr. CSI.
William Peterson?
Yeah. What's he doing now?
I don't know what he's doing now.
Because he left the show for some reason, I imagine.
Yeah, I think he got tired after.
He was doing theater.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of theater in Chicago.
Some local theater.
Oh, great
choice. And I believe he's still a executive producer on the show or something. I think he still makes...
He's worthless to me if he's doing theater. That is not a substitute.
Why?
It is for the people in Chicago.
Yeah, I think they're enjoying themselves.
Nope, bad choice.
All right.
If he's not on TV, it doesn't count.
The show still pulls in an average 12 million viewers.
That is
there aren't many of those anymore.
Each episode. It's crazy. Also renewed, inexplicably, TV Land has picked up Hot in Cleveland for a fifth season.
Wow, five seasons it's going to be?
I know you've never seen it, Ralph, and you insist it sucks, but really, it's pretty funny.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding.
It's
not great. It's not the best show on television. It's not one of the great comedies of all time. It's a solid sitcom,
though. Just because you pitch wood for Betty White does not mean it's a good
show.
That's
what got me in, but I'm telling you, it's
good.
You
wish it would get you in. She picked up an Emmy nomination for that show, by the way, Betty White.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very funny on it. Look, you can appreciate that she has great comedic timing.
I can.
She's very funny.
I can. But are they still hot in Cleveland? Is that still going on?
It is still hot in Cleveland.
All right. Looks like Fox is planning on bringing back the miniseries. Remember the miniseries?
Yes.
The miniseries, Lisa.
I don't.
Roots.
I don't.
It was a phenomenon of 70s and 80s television. Roots probably was the first thing that made it a staple of television. The Thornbirds, Shogun. They would take books, popular fiction books of the time, and instead of making it a feature film, they would just make it a long-form television program. So over the course of maybe four or five nights, every night in the course of a week, they would show this movie in installments. And it used to be big ratings grabbers for the networks. That kind of went away, but they're bringing it back. Fox apparently working on a couple of miniseries. One is a remake of one Lisa just mentioned, Shogun, from 1975. That book was released. In 1980, they made a miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain in that book. in that miniseries, in that role, and they're bringing that back. And they're also doing a miniseries about O.J. Simpson's trial of the century.
Oh, that would be interesting.
No word on whether it will actually show the crimes themselves or just the trial part of it, but both of these are likely to air in 2014. So,
isn't the show Top of the Lake kind of a miniseries, Dean? It's only going to
be like six or seven episodes, right?
Yeah. Talk of this Top of the Lake, and I have no idea.
It's a real thing with real stars.
I don't think it's real.
Elizabeth Moss from West Wing and Mad Men is the star of it. Jane Campion, the director, Oscar-nominated director, is the one who's behind it.
You know all these names.
Is it on LBC? The Lisa Broadcasting Channel?
No, it's on. Told me about it.
It's on Sundance, right?
Yeah,
or IFC, one of them.
It's on BBN, the Bean Broadcasting Network. While we're talking about television, scoff all you like, Bean, scoffer, Splash.
Tell me.
Of reality celebrity diving show Splash on ABC.
Hosted by Joey freaking Lawrence.
Second only to NCIS on Tuesday night in its ratings.
Wow.
No. Best ratings for an unscripted series premiere since The X Factor debuted back in 2011. Numbers for Splash.
Because Louis Anderson was diving for the troops, is that
diving
why?
Diving for the troops. And so people paid attention.
Wow.
Indeed, wow.
Welcome to Splash. If you thought that was incredible, it is just a taste of what's to come. Hey, everybody, I'm Joey Lawrence.
And I'm Carissa Thompson. Get ready for a television extravaganza unlike anything you've ever seen before.
Whoa. Apparently we wanted that.
They're diving. Whoa.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on a diving board is what America wants.
That's what we craved. We didn't even know we needed it until we saw it. Then we knew we needed it.
Visually, that's a crazy idea.
Did you get the angry email from the guy saying he's never going to listen again because we were making fun of people on Splash?
No.
Oh, it's very entertaining. Yeah. I believe the...
is it the weight issue?
The subject line. Just check it out. I think it just says F-U, 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 F-U. I think that's the subject line of the email.
Oh, I get so many apparently, like that.
Apparently, Lisa, we were insensitive to these people who were brave enough to face their fears.
That's
and that
right.
We should give them a little more credit.
Yeah. You couldn't do it. You couldn't jump off a diving board.
I have jumped off a diving
actually,
board.
I could do. He's jumping in
he's
the water.
Never, listen, Lisa, he's never going to listen again because we made fun of Louis Anderson not being able to get out of the pool. That's what we're dealing with here.
People are the best. And how about a remake of National Lampoon's Vacation, the Chevy Chase classic film from the 80s? Anyone?
No.
New Line Cinema apparently has gotten Ed Helms to star. It's a reboot of the series, also sort of a sequel of the series. It's about Rusty, Chevy Chase's son in the film Vacation, who's all grown up now, and he plans to take his own family on their own vacation.
Sure.
And I bet you wackiness ensues.
But Ed Helms is really good.
Very funny guy.
Always funny. So now, maybe.
He elevates any material.
They're trying to get Christina Applegate to play his wife.
That might be good.
Could be. But I still think no. Without having ever seen it or know anything about it.
Well, that's what you do.
I'm going to dismiss it outright. Today's celebrity birthdays.
By the way, Ralph.
Yes.
Tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes.
We're talking to Gillionaire.
What?
Birthday. It's my candle-blowing birthday.
Candle-blowing birthday.
Yeah. We'll talk to him about that one and talk about his pants song and talk to him about I'm the
pants,
best.
Them pants.
He's got a million of them. He's our favorite rapper. He's local, lives in Orange County, and he's coming on the show tomorrow.
Burst.
Right?
Yep.
And what happens if you got no swag? You get no cake, right?
No birthday cake.
If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake. If you can't swag, you can't have no birthday cake.
I think that's a reasonable policy.
I do, too. Let's see who's getting some birthday cake today. Timothy Dalton was played James Bond back in the day, 67 years old today. Gary Oldman, 55 years old. Matthew Broderick, 51 today, as is Rosie O'Donnell. Kevin Federline, K-Fed, Popo Sow. He's 35 years old. Derek Whibley of Sum 41 is 33. And the Money Man, Eddie Money, celebrates his 64th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Producer Dave Sanchez, King of Mexico, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think? Just take a guess. What do you think Muse is making from CBS using that as the theme for the final for the March Madness this year?
Well, as much as they're playing it, probably all the money in the world.
I mean, isn't that the greatest thing about writing a song is that you write a song and then there are so many different ways to make money off of it?
I don't know if you saw the promos, but I think it was in January they started already promoting the March Madness using the Muse with the Muse concert clips.
Good stuff. All right, Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous Q-Rock. It is Thursday morning, 9:10. Time for an all-new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
One of the king's many jobs here on the Kevin and Bean Show is to keep track of all the great viral videos popping up all over the Internet every week. Week in, week out, he compiles them in one easy-to-find place on krock.com or kevinandbean.com. We got a new batch for you today. Tell me about this this hockey fight that we're going to hear a clip from. The Chicago Wolves versus the Rockford Ice Hogs. What went so terribly wrong here?
It's awesome because right at the end of the game, I guess someone got pushed into the opposing team's bench, and they just start throwing punches. It was awesome.
As so often happens in hockey, here's the play-by-play announcer telling us about it.
Out to center, Kleine's gone to the bench. The door was open, and Smith went out into that. Now we got a fight. Someone reached over the bench. Bjorn Davidson comes up swinging, and this one getting ugly. Rockford's already been involved in a bench clearing brawl once this season, as you see helter-skelter taking place between these two teams.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, if you're one of the many hockey fans who loves fights, this is a video you absolutely have to see. It is a doozy. All right, I don't know why somebody is spending time in 2013 cutting up old episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, but apparently there's a crazy episode where Jean-Luc Picard, played by Patrick Stewart, is playing the flute. I don't know why he's there playing the flute, but please tell me he actually played better than the clip. It sounds like they must have dubbed in like some awful flute playing, and then you see people all over the ship who are hearing this over the, you know, over the monitors who are just being driven insane by. It's funny.
Stop. Please stop.
What is that dreadful noise?
You've never seen a guy not in gay porn happier about playing a flute. I gotta be honest. Here's a, it's funny, we were having the phone topic earlier today about people who lose it at work. You just run out of patience in your job and you scream or hit or something. That's exactly what happened to this guy. He's one of those street performers, Lisa, the kind who paints his face up. In fact, he's completely covered in like silver paint, his whole body, all his clothes, everything, right? And he stands like a statue and he wants you to come up and put money in his jar, right?
Right.
Well, people can't help but screw with that guy. And there's this one guy who's particularly obnoxious, who's petting him on the back, and then he like makes his finger wet and puts it in his ear. And then he starts, you know, hitting his nose, and the street performer just decks him. It's awesome.
Hey, leave him alone, man.
Oh!
Nice.
So you don't usually see those guys move unless they're walking like a robot, but this guy just hit him and then went right back to his position on the street there in Australia. Very
well
funny.
Deserved.
Remember that documentary that still gets a lot of traction on the internet called Loose Change, and it's put together by a bunch of nut jobs who are convinced that it would be impossible for planes to fly into the World Trade Center and have them collapse the way they did. They're conspiracy theorists.
Yes.
They're convinced that there was, you know, government was involved somehow, or there's much more to the story than we know, and they won't let it go. And year after year, this Loose Change documentary still gets passed around as, hey, we got all these 9/11 questions. Well, somebody has forgotten about that for a moment and looked into the real conspiracy, which is how is it that Luke Skywalker, in one tiny little X-Wing fighter, was able to bring down the entire Death Star? And I think they're asking some pretty reasonable questions.
What's the likelihood that a squad of one-man attack ships like the X-Wing could penetrate the defenses of a heavily fortified moon-sized battle station? Even if a ship was somehow able to slip through, the difficulty of torpedoing a tiny ventilation shaft necessary to detonate the core is extremely high. In fact, a decorated and experienced Rebel Alliance fighter pilot, Wedge Antilles, is quoted as saying, "It's impossible."
Right?
Right.
You guys with me?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on there? Where's that conspiracy theory? Come on.
Right.
Doing the Internet Roundup here, you can see all of these videos and so much more at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. Girls, of course, just finished season number 2 on HBO. One of the most popular characters on the show is Shoshana. She annoys the crap out of me with her little Minnie Mouse voice, and she's always saying dumb things, and that's what this video is. It's a bunch of stuff Shoshana says from Girls.
A little bird told me that you are getting an STD test. Fun.
I'm not serious. I mean, that's like not being on Facebook.
I'm not on Facebook.
You're so classy.
I love her.
I love her.
Do you like Shoshana? Yes. You guys both like Shoshana?
Yes.
She's so dumb, though.
She's fascinating.
I love her more than Lena Dunham's character.
Spilling
I want to punch
stuff
her
out.
In the face, but not.
Wow, yeah. Dave.
Justin Timberlake, who, of course, is always on Jimmy Fallon. They're actually real good friends. In fact, they just had Timber Week on the Fallon Show late nights on NBC. And oftentimes when they get together, they do this history of rap. This is where the Roots backs him up and they just do a big medley of rap hits. They got to be running out of songs at this point, right? But this is a little segment. You got to watch the whole thing because, as always, it's excellent. From the History of Rap, Part 4.
Fat boys.
Yeah, it's about 8 minutes long. It goes all the way up to includes Eminem, and even Thrift Shop is in this latest one. So you definitely got to check it out.
Am I the only one that's over that? Like, history
they've
of rap?
They've gone to the well quite a bit, haven't they, David? They're up to four.
I think me and Muggs could do a better job.
Yeah. Mac Lethal, speaking of rappers, he's on the street for some reason, and I guess this is just an internet thing, right? They're just interviewing people just to make wacky videos, right? Yeah. This isn't on TV or anything. No. He's interviewing people. They call it Drunk People Are Stupid, but basically it's like any of those shows, a cash cab or whatever it is, where they come across unsuspecting people, and they ask them what sound like simple questions and see how they do. But the advantage here for the interviewer is that everyone seems to be super drunk. It's like at 2 a.m. out in front of a bar, and you can't believe how bad their answers are.
Spell ridiculous.
R-I-D. Ridic. R-I-D-I-Q. No, C-U-L-U-O-U-S.
What weighs more, a pound of gold or a pound of silver?
Probably a pound of silver.
No,
because
they both weigh the same.
You're not answering the questions.
They weigh the same.
You got it wrong. Thank him.
Drunk people are stupid, but they're also very funny. Our friend Dave Koechner from Anchorman and so many other great TV shows and movies that we loved, he is apparently a huge March Madness fan. It's him in a gymnasium trying to even hold on to a basketball, talking about his own hoop dreams.
Me playing college basketball. Do I still got game? Is got game proper English? Or is it, do I still have game? That doesn't sound right either.
You may be missing the point of the season. And finally, our bad lip-reading friends are back. They do an incredible job. When you watch this, you can't believe when you watch these videos that the people aren't saying this because it matches up so perfectly. And this time, they took bad lip-reading to the Super Bowl. So you're actually seeing people from Baltimore and from San Francisco on the field, refs, coaches, players. You're actually seeing them not say these things.
Hey, what do I always say? It's not about cake, it's not worth fighting for.
Then go, I just want to dance.
Better shave your ass neck. You can always go. Better shave your ass neck.
Very funny. You can see all of these videos and so much more at KevinAmin.com or KRock.com. It's the Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bain's Internet Roundup.
Fire Beer Mug.
Yeah. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Let's just start putting that at the end of every song. Because it gets everybody
talk.
In a good mood.
You're a lot of talk. That's all.
What are you talking
are.
About?
You're just a lot of talk.
I left strict instructions while I was on vacation last week that Beer Mug was to be gone by the time I got back. It was on you guys to figure out a way to make the paperwork happen.
It's not the Ralph Show.
Or the Lisa
it's
Show.
Not the Lisa Show. Yeah. It's not the Dave the King of Mexico Show.
But
although
I thought
I'd love to listen to that on a daily basis.
Oh, look at the time. Is the temperature really 65 degrees?
But it's the Kevin and Bean Show. And so
I thought you would take care of it while I was out last
kings
week.
Kings of the castle, you think you would, you know, dispatch your own dragons.
Well, something's got to be done. I can't take
That's
it anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Do
something's
something.
Something's got to be done.
Stop with the little hilarious comedy audio drops and do something.
I have dirt on both of them, so they're not doing anything.
Muggs, you want more from your life than this, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, then go find something else. Go find more.
I could go work at Goldstone's again.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
Whatever that. Yeah, absolutely. I think you'd be better in food service than you are in radio. All right, 9:42. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What are people talking about?
Although, how would the food get from wherever it's prepared to your table if Beer Mug was in charge of it?
It's a good idea.
He would just keep showing up with empty plate after empty plate for people, and they'd be like,
I don't know what happened. It was full when I left the kitchen.
Outrageous. Tell me about your life in the past 5 years.
I'm a drummer.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news. We were mentioning the fact that Bobby Brown had turned himself in yesterday. to the Los Angeles courthouse after pleading no contest to a DUI and driving on a suspended license last month. Bobby got sentenced to 55 days behind bars, had to serve 4 years on informal probation and do an 18-month alcohol treatment program. This is makes two DUI convictions for Bobby in less than a year. And we were talking about how the fact that Lindsay Lohan gets a 90-day slap on the wrist at a rehab. And,
yeah, she can't go to jail no matter how many times she screws up, yet they're always putting Bobby Brown in jail. What's
dropping,
up?
Dropping the hammer on Bobby Brown with 55 days.
And he was in New Edition. He deserves better treatment than Lindsay Lohan, who was only in Freaky Friday.
He was married to Whitney Houston, for God's sakes. That must have been a chore every day.
Yeah, give him a break.
She was demanding. Anyway, we did a little research, and he has already served his 9 hours.
He only had to serve 9 hours?
Yeah, he did.
Of 55 days?
I had a feeling.
He did his nine hard hours.
Wow.
So that is like Lindsay.
Yeah.
Just bounces right
back
out.
Lindsay got worse. She's got 90 days in a lockdown rehab.
Yeah, that's true.
He did 9 hours. Yeah. Now he's out. All he has to do is that alcohol treatment program. And
that'll stick.
That'll stick, because look at him.
Sure.
He's learned his lesson.
Please drink responsibly.
Yes, please. Sad news. One of the legends of the adult film industry, Harry Reams, is gone. Passed away this week of pancreatic cancer, 65 years old. Not only was it notable, he did more than 100 X-rated films in the 70s and early 80s, but he put his life back together again. After he left the industry, he had a problem with alcohol. He kicked it, moved to Park City, Utah, found a wife, became a successful realtor. That's what he did. Made a lot of money in real estate. Great profile in New York Magazine from 2005 that talks about how he pulled his life back together again. But sadly, did pass away this week at the age of 65.
Well, life goes on. Except for you!
Can always count on Bean. Put things in perspective. And it looks like Jimmy Fallon will be the new host of The Tonight Show. New York Times and Hollywood Reporter both saying that Fallon will take over The Tonight Show in 2014 and move the show back to New York City where it first started back in 1954.
Ralph, how do you think long-term that's going to play out, that decision?
I think it's a mistake.
Do you?
Given the fragile nature of NBC right now, mm-hmm. and the one consistent show they have is The Tonight Show.
Right.
Leno, say whatever you want about him. He does have a significant audience that he seems to be loyal to him and holds on to him.
And it's not just the name, The Tonight Show, because remember, when Leno was gone and it was Conan, they tanked.
Yes. So, given the nature, I mean, I can understand why they want to switch, and I see why they need a younger audience and all that. But given the state of the union over there at NBC, they may want to fix some other problems before they start working on their late night lineup. Because consider the scenario where they switch, right? And you got Fallon now doing it out of New York City. Mm-hmm. So all the Leno fans go away. Will Fallon's audience be enough to equal or exceed Leno's numbers? And more importantly, with no strong lead-ins on NBC, no strong 10 o'clock
right. That's
drama
crippling.
Lineup, you know, that creates an audience that feeds into the local news and then the late-night programming, the lack thereof, what does that mean for the numbers
right.
for The Tonight Show?
And as hard as it is for us to believe, because we don't know anyone who watches Jay Leno, as Ralph says, there are millions of people in this country who really like that guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that Jimmy Fallon has that middle-of-the-country appeal that Mr. Leno does.
I don't either. So it's a real crapshoot.
It's a risk, that's for sure.
At a time, I don't think they can afford to take any more risks, but... Look, what do I know? I don't run show business.
I think it's interesting that they're talking about the show being in New York City, as you mentioned, for the first time in decades. But I guess it's because that's where Fallon is. That's where Lorne Michaels, the producer of the show,
yeah.
is there. His band, The Roots, it's thought that they wouldn't want to move to the West Coast because right. they're East Coast guys. So it makes sense that they're doing it, but it's a totally different show.
And that also puts a crimp in your star power booking. You know, a lot of these stars... will go to New York when they're on tour to promote something, whatever, but just for a general draw from a pool of celebrities to have as regular guests on a regular basis.
Right.
If you're not in Los Angeles, I think you struggle. I mean, look how well Jimmy does being in L.A. to be able to call up a Matt Damon or
yeah.
Kimmel, you mean. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kimmel. What did I say?
Yeah.
Well, you just said Jimmy.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel. Look how well he does, you know, having a pool of his friends and celebrities and movie stars and stuff to draw
right.
from that he can pull in at a moment's notice and put together these great pre-taped bits and things like that. In New York City, I mean, certainly there's a ton of celebrities there, but I don't think as many.
No, I agree.
So don't know. We'll wait and see. Entourage is coming to the big screen. You know that.
That's not necessary, by the way.
HBO series Entourage.
No reason for that at all.
I know you're looking forward to it, Bean. And here's another reason you'll want to go see it. Adrien Grenier has talked about the fact that he has his eye on a certain young superstar to do a cameo in that film. Apparently, he's having conversations with Justin Bieber to show up in the Entourage movie.
It gets better and better.
Vincent Chase. Vinny Chase hanging out with Justin Bieber. Adrien has said he checked out the Biebs documentary. He said he's so cool, he'd be great in the Entourage on the big screen.
Why does this movie need to happen, Ralph? Why can't shows just be done?
Because what happened to Ari and Lloyd and Vinny and Drama and all our friends from Entourage? What happened to them?
I bet Drama was having trouble getting on a show that he liked. I bet Vinny was debating whether to sell out for a lot of money to do a big Hollywood movie.
Getting the movie he wanted to get, and Ari had to go through an enormous amount of hard work and machinations in order to get him.
What if Turtle was having dating trouble and he couldn't go out with the girl that he wanted to?
What if Turtle has an idea for a business? What if he wants to go out on his own and start his own business?
Right.
And then
they
he
haven't covered any of that.
Runs into troubles trying to get that thing off the ground without leaning on his friend's money or fame. What if he wants to do it himself?
Nothing but problems for that group of kids.
And what about E? Does he stay with Sloan, his girlfriend? Or is that relationship?
He does both.
Trouble?
He stays and then breaks up and then stays and then breaks up over and over and over again.
These are the questions that need to be answered.
Feel like we've seen that movie already.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Kristen Wiig. Love her.
Yes.
Love her too.
She's the best. She's the best if you're Gillionaire. She is doing Anchorman 2 with her buddy Will Ferrell.
Which is going to be the funniest movie ever.
Boy, the more people they add to it. Greg Kinnear now is going to be in it. Harrison Ford. Just sounds... Already I'm laughing. I haven't even seen a bit of it yet.
Bitchin'.
But they're talking about doing a second film together, co-starring in a film together. Hollywood Reporter says that Kristen is attached to a film called Welcome to Me, a woman with dissociative personality disorder who wins the lottery and decides to spend her winnings on a cable access talk show where she does nothing but talk about her life. Co-star would be Will Ferrell. No word on what role he would play in that film, but I'm telling you.
Whatever Kristen Wiig wants to make, I'll go see.
I'll be there. Take a look at the birthdays, shall we? Celebrity birthdays?
Let's do it.
Timothy Dalton. He used to be James Bond. He's 67 years old today. Gary Oldman, 55 years old. Gary Oldman is just amazing.
He disappears in everything.
Yeah, he does.
You know, I look back over his career, and lately people know him from the Harry Potter movies and from Batman playing Commissioner Gordon and stuff. But he was like one of those young Turk, out-of-control, crazy actors. You didn't know what you were going to get from him.
Yeah.
From Sid and Nancy to Fifth Element. I mean, he was always this weird guy who did all these weird choices. And he's just remarkable. Did you ever see a movie called... this is going to come back and bite me in the ass. The Contender, I believe it's called, with Jeff Bridges as the President of the United States.
Yes, I did.
And he... brings in his choice. It's a woman to be the vice president, possible nominee. Joan Allen plays the
right. See that. She was nominated for an Oscar for that.
And Gary Coleman. Gary Oldman.
Totally different movie.
Gary Oldman plays a Republican senator, I believe, who's trying to control the nomination process. And you wouldn't even know who that guy was if you didn't know it was Gary Oldman.
The time earlier in his career, I'd watch somebody and think, who is that? And every time it was him, and I'd be like, what?
Yeah, he's remarkable.
Never
How
recognized
is it the same
him.
Guy? It's like Daniel Day-Lewis, a guy who just doesn't exist outside of whatever role he's playing, too.
Brilliant. Matthew Broderick's 51, as is Rosie O'Donnell. Kevin Federline is 35. Derek Whibley of Sum 41 is 33. And Eddie Money!
I've got two tickets for that.
The Money Man gets one shout out on radio every year in the world, and it's on the Academy show on his birthday.
How dare you, sir? He is still beloved by millions, and I hope you'll come and see me in my Eddie Money cover band.
Okay.
I'm going to start an Eddie Money cover band.
I think that's a great idea.
The idea just came to me. I said, I need to do a tribute band. Eddie
Money. What's it going to be called? Funny Money?
It'll be called Freddie Cash. That's what I'll call myself, Freddie Cash.
Right. Good luck with that.
Singing all the hits. Eddie is 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's why we're Americans, right?
Woo!
Woo!
That is why we're Americans. Right. Exactly. Hey, thanks a lot for everybody who listened to the Kevin and Bean Show today. Fire Beer Mug tomorrow. Nope. An all-new program. It's going to be a good one, too. Ralph, you're going to be here with the Movie Beat telling us all about the movies that you haven't seen.
Fire Beer Mug, yeah.
We know him as Gillionaire. Apparently, Dave traded emails with him this week. It seems like the first step in being well-known as a rapper is to have people know what your name is. Mm-hmm. And he's a little mysterious, but he wants to be known as GMC Fauxshow.
GMC Fauxshow.
Right. That's what he's going by. And he's the guy who does Dem Pants. He's the guy who does Birthday. And he's the guy who does I'm the Best. He's got a million great songs.
GMC
we love
him. GMC Fauxshow was a popular advertising campaign for trucks for a while, I think.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that's what he asked us to call him when we talked to him tomorrow morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Gerard Butler is going to be joining us. There's a big-time movie star right there. He's in that new Olympus Has Fallen. Cain Velasquez is going to be on talking about UFC 160. We got that going on for you tomorrow. And I'm very excited. Dexter Holland from The Offspring, who you know we love for his music, is also the smartest man in the world. I asked him to come on, Ralph, because he's just published a paper. You know he's one of these intellectuals, one of these super smart guys who gets like degree after degree after degree in all sorts of subjects,
yes.
Right? He has written a paper that is so confounding to me that I don't even understand what the topic is, much less what the paper's about.
Hmm. Well, that should make for good radio.
We're going to try to get Dexter Splained Science is the new feature. That's going to be debut. That's tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.